before, right before the live button was hit.
Oh, you
got
act
that
like
out.
I won't say it during the show.
I know, but still, it was perfectly timed.
Well, Tony's sassing me because I asked if there was anything we needed to talk about before we started, and then he got an attitude about it.
But you started anyway, so who gives a shit?
Well, because there was clearly there was nothing of any importance to talk about. Otherwise, you would have said, oh, I would like to talk about this. What do we need to talk about?
Yeah, what do we need to talk about? Handsome Kevin's back.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, welcome back, Almondhead.
Thanks, bitch.
I like your Seattle Mariners hat, by the way. That's
I appreciate
neat.
That. It's actually, it's the Kraken.
No, let him think it's the Mariners hat, please.
All right.
What is a Kraken, and why is it spelled with an S? I thought it was spelled with a K.
Well, the S is probably for Seattle.
What is a Seattle Kraken?
It's a mythical beast, Tony. It's a mythical beast.
No, I know what a Kraken is. What is a Seattle Kraken?
It's their
is it somebody who wears fucking sandals and shits on the bad weather?
Their hockey team, my man.
Do you not know what a Kraken is?
I know what a Kraken is. You could lick my fucking ass, Kraken.
Why are you like fucking literal Tony tonight? Seattle Kraken. It's a fucking mythical sea creature, and the hockey team is named after it.
Oh, so it's a hockey team.
Yes, hockey.
Okay. When did that become a team?
Two years ago,
I think. Oh.
They were the latest expansion team after the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and in their first season.
Oh, the Golden Knights, I know.
Right.
I've heard of them.
And I believe the Kraken went to a Stanley Cup final already.
You're speaking Dorkinese. I have no idea.
Or am I thinking the Knights? Am I thinking
the Knights won their first year.
See, even the fucking hockey guy doesn't know. You're yelling at me.
No, I think they've sniffed.
They haven't sniffed.
I think they made it to at least the conference final.
No sniffing, KJG.
Are you sure?
Kraken ain't sniffing yet, man.
Sniffing Kraken?
So when they had the expansion draft, they were really good.
The Knights were. The Kraken.
No, so were the Kraken. I'm telling you.
Matt, you're looking it up. Tell us.
I am. They finished their inaugural season last place in the Pacific Division.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because they did it the opposite way that the Golden Knights did. You're right.
In their second season.
There we go.
They qualified for the Stanley Cups as the first wild card team, and they defeated the Avalanche in the opening round before losing to the Stars in the second round.
That's sniffing a Jace.
That's not sniffing.
It's not sniffing, but it's good for an expansion team to make it to the playoffs in your second season.
Yeah,
the Stars are the Dallas Stars?
Yeah.
Yes. All you're thinking of the Minnesota North Stars? Is that how you remember? Or the Quebec Nordiques?
No, I just remember the Dallas Stars. Wasn't that the team?
That is the team.
I didn't have to take three detours to get there. That one I knew, and I just never heard of the Ass Krakens before. I mean,
they're not called the Ass Krakens.
They might as well be because they didn't make it to the Stanley Cup.
I want to do a can you beat that? How many hockey teams can Tony name?
That would be a terrible idea.
I think it'd be hysterical.
Tony, how many hockey teams can you name?
I don't know. A couple weeks ago, he was given his fucking baseball stadium expertise, and he's been to like three fucking stadiums in his whole life.
Oh, so what? That doesn't make me an expert? I've been to 10% of the stadiums in the MLB.
Excuse me?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 10%. There's like 30 MLB teams, aren't there? Yeah.
Fuck out of here. You're nonsense.
There's not? How many MLB teams are there?
Don't give me your 10% bullshit, all right?
How many are there?
You know the answer to this question.
No, I don't.
I don't care about your 10%.
I'm not really sure. Are there 30, Matt?
There's
32.
Yes.
30? Okay, yeah.
Yes. Oh, there's 30 teams. I've been to three of them. That's 10%. What kind of math are you doing over there?
I didn't say your math was wrong. Stupid. Just saying you can't claim to be an expert on something when you've only had a smidgen of a
10% is a statistical, whatchamacallit, like portion.
That's a portion.
No, it's not.
When they get the ratings for wrestling on Mondays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, they don't poll every single person watching.
Yeah, but
it's
they
based
don't
on
even,
a percentage
they
of
say
viewers.
10%.
No, but it's based on a percentage of viewers. It's not based on the entire viewing audience.
You're trying to fit this percentage into the narrative that
you're just pissed off because my math is correct and you're a tard.
Your math has nothing to do with the fact that you think you're an expert because you've been to three baseball stadiums and you're going to sit here.
Prove me wrong.
I think the Trop is the worst stadium.
Four. I've been to more than 10% of the stadiums.
All right. What's the fourth one?
I've been to Fenway.
Okay.
So what? You've been Fenway? The two New York ones, I'm assuming?
Yes. And but not both new ones. I went to both old ones and one of the new ones. So does that count as five?
Sure.
Holy shit, I'm fucking King Kong Bundy in the thing. And Tropicana Field, because I went to the Devil Rays, one of their games in their first season.
You got me beat, Tony. You got me beat. So,
oh, yeah?
You are the expert here.
Not the expert. I'm the fucking expert.
Nobody asked you.
How many hockey teams can you name, Tony?
Oh, jeez.
You want to say this? We'll save this for next. No, but you can do research at that time.
I was going to say, then it's not
I couldn't
not
give less of a shit about how many hockey teams there are.
I know, and it's probably...
We know you know! I mean, what are we doing?
I just want to see how many you can name right now. You don't have to take all night.
Kevin wants to bury Horowitz himself.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to pat yourself on the back.
I'm not going to partake. I just want to see how many he knows. I'm curious.
Great, two hand jobs above me. One knows all the fucking baseball stadiums, and the other one knows all the hockey teams. What the fuck are we doing? Handsome Kevin, is there anything that you would like to shit on me for this evening? Can we make it a fucking trifecta?
I would like to compliment you, though, Tony. You did a fantastic job with Goodnight Diana.
Oh, thank you very much.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Man,
if you're listening or watching, would you join the Patreon if you could watch HK and T-Donk blow each other?
No. I'd actually
wouldn't sign up.
Give my dollar
back. Why would you say such a hurtful thing, dude?
Right.
Me or Kevin?
You!
Well, because you two are like, oh, you did a great job the other day. You did a great job the other day.
He's paying me a compliment, unlike you two douche nozzles who are shitting all over me for about things that have nothing to do with what we do a podcast about. But fuck me running, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You started talking about his stupid hat.
I asked him what the Seattle Mariners hat was, that I liked it. I complimented him.
How are you back at the Mariners? We just had a whole conversation about the Kraken.
Because that's what I thought. That's what I asked him about.
But you've been corrected, but you still continue to ask the wrong question.
You're taking me back to the beginning of the conversation, and that's how this all started, because I called it a Mariners hat. Bro, if you're going to tell history, you got to fucking be right when you do it.
Well, Kyle asked a very interesting question here. He wants to know who would be on top in that 69 situation.
I would hold Handsome Kevin upside down like a tombstone.
Beautiful.
And then when my legs got tired, we do a little flip ski with a little reversal.
Yep, reverse it. Yep.
Handsome Kevin will hold me legs akimbo for a little while.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Nice. A lot of back hair. A lot of back hair in your face.
No, it's 69. It's belly to belly. What fucking 69? Jesus. Oh, man, that's a word of baseball.
That's a 96.
Fucking back hair.
The fucking guy. Jesus Christ.
Well, I clearly don't want to vision you two 69.
He's got got fantasies of being a lucky Pierre, HK. That's all it is.
We.
I'm so glad I didn't share the link until right now.
KJG, do you know what a fucking lucky Pierre
is? I
want to
know, what do you mean you're so glad? God, why? Who don't you want to upset in your little circle of fucking minions?
It's just a weird conversation.
We're 676 episodes of this fucking podcast. If you're not used to this nonsense by now, kick fucking rocks, bro. If you tuned in to hear, like, in-depth, we're going to break shit down, this is the wrong podcast for you. We're going to talk about two of the four co-hosts 69-ing. The other one thinks he's an expert on baseball. The other one's wearing a fucking hockey hat. Then we got Hockey Phil over here. This idiot doesn't know how to speak the fucking English language. Come on.
You're very committed to that NWO hat, though, too, by the way.
You
I'll
are.
Say that, that's big.
Thanks. I like it. And I just didn't have time to get a haircut again today.
I like that your beard matches it.
We're going to have a date.
Too sweet.
Oh, bro. Preparing. Handsome Kevin, suck this. Preparing for a snowstorm.
Yeah, it's going to be bad tomorrow.
Bitch.
How Our lawns like are going to be apples? White, Handsome Kevin.
We're looking at 7 to 10 inches in Morristown, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're not.
She's Asian. She don't know, bro.
Wow.
Boobies.
She can't measure? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm talking about that here.
She can't see.
I love cocks.
Hi, wife.
I want to have sex with your wife.
Hey, easy over there. So I draw the line, mister.
Yo, Tony, your dad's hiring for Valentine's Day, right? Because I'm going to be out of a job.
Take it easy, Billy Graham.
It was so bad that my balls were black.
Flowers by Chuck is looking and for drivers dad. Wednesday.
What?
God. Are they looking for drinkers on Wednesday?
Oh, shit.
I can do that.
Well, we got so much. We had we went into like panic mode last week over the WrestleMania 40 main event, but then the presser was Thursday, so we got some clarity there. Tony watched one match on AEW, and it's going to be a great review. TNA fired Scott D'Amore, so we're going to talk about that. New Japan had a fantastic show yesterday morning. So you guys can fire away questions about that if you want to talk about that. We got to talk about that maniac Billy Jack Haynes too.
Oh yeah, murder.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on that.
Oh boy, and then HK did the wrestling show with the Bret the Hitman Hart. KJG went to La Greca's thing, the La Greca show. So we have so much to talk about, and it's all here next episode 676. The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast 676, right? Let me check my notes. Yes, 676.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
You are watching
The Shining Wizards.
The Shining Wizards.
Wrestling Podcast.
Wrestling Podcast. Man.
Come one, come all, come join us for episode number 676 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, live on social media, going with you wherever you go on each and every one of those streaming and podcasting platforms. Handsome Kevin is back. We got the whole squad here, so let's jump right in to some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Handsome Kevin.
Hey, J. G.
Fellas, feels good that we're all here again this week, no?
Oh, yeah.
Feels great.
Kevin's got a nice tan going.
Oh, yeah.
With his Mariners cap on.
Oh, you know it.
Matt supporting the NWO, KJG supporting them fucking Devils.
That's right.
And I'm here supporting the Shining Wizards Network. Yay, me.
Someone
One
has
of us
to.
Should. Yeah.
Oh boy! So how is everyone tonight?
Let me tell you, I did something to my shoulder.
Oh, here we go again. Oh,
no. So I got like a little one of them heating gimmicks on. But otherwise, pretty good.
How did you hurt your shoulder?
Like an icy hot?
No idea. Yeah, it's like one of those therma gimmicks.
Oh, like you kind of snap them and they get hot?
Yeah, you stick it on and it keeps you hot.
Oh, it's got the lidocaine in it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it might have been when I shoveled the first time and fell in the driveway. It might be a pre-existing injury. And it could be flaring up right before the big old snowstorm.
Yeah, but when did you shovel? That was like weeks ago, wasn't it? You probably tore something. Yeah. You probably tore something. Yes. No, not, what do you mean, yes? Is your neighbor going to come help you shovel again?
I don't have to go to work in the morning because of the weather, so I should be able to take care of the snow situation before.
You got any gimmicks tomorrow? Or are you off for the day?
No, I got to go to the restaurant tomorrow night. Unless it's really bad and they decide not to open, or they just go with a skeleton crew.
Yeah, because I've been here in your neck of the woods. You guys are going to get fucking slammed tomorrow, like bad.
Bring it on.
I'm not slamming. I choose not to slam.
I got my rock salt. I put a bunch of wood inside for the fireplace. I'm ready.
Nice. Nice.
Ready Very for nice. Whatever comes.
Handsome Kevin, how's that green lawn of yours?
As I say, I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of jealous.
It's okay.
Still green.
That's a bummer. Yeah, you know, it really sucks going from the beautiful sandy beaches in Mexico to the fucking green grass,
yep.
God forbid, of Minnesota.
Well, usually when I get home from Mexico this time of year, it's, you know, it's like negative 10. I love it. Snow everywhere. I get home now, the fucking grass is green. It's like 50 degrees.
Yeah, poor you.
Sucks ass.
How is KJG, the mean streets of West Orange. What's going on, dude?
All right, good.
Not too much, man. Hanging in, hanging out. Doing the goddamn thing.
He really had to think about that for a minute.
Was he on tape delay?
He might be.
I think he is. Are you delayed?
Are you frozen?
That's what I think. I was literally just about to text you guys.
Yeah, he might be a little froze up. His mic's coming a little tinny.
Oh, he's getting the storm before me.
Oh, boy. I'm not getting the storm, but looks like Lego Head's going to be off tomorrow. Looks like my wife might be closing the office.
They already canceled school for him?
What you tend to forget is he's not in the local high school. He's in, like, the county high school, and Bergen County's huge.
I don't know what that means.
All right, when they say north and west of the city, parts of Bergen County are north and west of the city. So when they get slammed with a little more because it's a little colder up there, that's what that means.
So are you going to make your kid do some work tomorrow, or are you going to let him fucking loaf around like the succubus that he is?
Oh, I have to work.
You got to put him to work? You get him out there with a shovel?
He can't do my legal work? I mean, what's wrong with you?
Look,
what do you want, to draft a motion and send it to the judge?
No. Snow is bad. Take a shovel. Go door to door. Tell people you shovel their shit for a couple bucks. Tell your kid to start earning his keep.
We're not getting anything here tomorrow.
Why does he not have any school?
That's a good point.
Dude, I just explained this to you. He goes to a county school.
So that
where everybody in the county goes.
Don't care. Do it. Go to school from home like it's the pandemic.
Yeah.
He did that for a year and a half. So
it shows.
So the model works. He could still go to school from home.
Jesus, tap dancing Christ.
HK.
Yes.
You went to Mexico.
Yes.
had a great time.
Had a wonderful time.
Flew back to work. Wrestling show with
yes.
the Hitman.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Let's talk about that, buddy.
Sure thing. What would you like to know?
How was it?
It was good. It was a fun show. The circumstances ended up being not ideal. So Brett did not make his initial flight out of Calgary.
Oh, man.
So he had to go from Calgary to Atlanta, have a 45-minute layover in Atlanta. And then fly into Minneapolis.
Ugh.
And then go from Minneapolis about an hour and 20 minutes north to the casino where the show was at.
I'm going to ask you, I just, Calgary to Atlanta, you probably fly over Minnesota?
Yep.
All right.
Not necessarily. Not if it's straight shot.
Okay.
But it was, not ideal because he was supposed to be there at 4:00. Ended up getting there at, it was about 9:30, right in that range, but still hung out. I believe I was told he left around 1:30 in the morning. He told the promoter, he's like, I will stay here. I'll make sure everybody has a good time, and I will sign everything for everybody. Like, did the right thing, did the stand-up guy thing. I didn't get a chance to sit down and chat with him, obviously, because there was a line of probably 500 people waiting to see the Hitman. So I just, when he's got to take care of his fans, I'm good. Close to him, waved. That was about it. My wife actually saw him coming into the show as she was heading out of the show. So she kind of paused. She told me, she's like, yeah, me and Shelly were leaving. And I saw him. I said, I believe that's him. That's the Hitman. That's what all this commotion's about. So, that was cool for her. And yeah, so that was, all in all, that was a great show. I had a good time.
Yeah. And then what, the AWA house show announcer talked to you?
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to fucking shit on me again? You want me to open my mouth this time, you cocksucker?
Was it Ken Resnick?
No.
Then who gives a shit?
Exactly.
You motherfuckers.
It was, what was his name? Scooter McGee?
Now, if you told me Mel Phillips was doing the ring announcing, then I would have been impressed.
Who was the last guy that complimented you fucking chooch?
Mel Phillips would have been playing with Handsome Kevin's fucking feet in the parking lot.
My kids turned me on.
Easy. Mick Karch?
Mick Karch, yes.
Let's see. Mick Karch. Oh, he's got a wrestling database.
Of course he does. He's Nick Karch.
Oh, guess what, Tony, can you get Tony or KJG, can you guess what his nickname is?
What's his name again?
Mick Karch.
Mick the Dick Karch.
Only in the locker room, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
It's Slick Mick Karch. The voice close. Of Minnesota Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
According to his cage match, he did NWA Grand Slam in 1993, AWF in 1994, took 20 years off.
He didn't take 20 years off.
He was honing his craft on the indies. But Slick Nick said nice things to you.
He did. It was awesome, especially a guy that I have a lot of respect for, to go up and just ask him for any pointers, any advice, anything like that, based off the last show I worked for that company, because he was there calling the action. I always like to look to the seniors to see if they have any input or anything like that. He gave me a variety of great compliments. I was kind of blown away. I was very appreciative. Very nice guy. And like I said, anytime you can get a compliment like that from somebody that you respect as much as I respect him, well-known voice and obviously the Minnesota scene, but yeah, I was kind of walking on clouds, and I sent you guys a fucking text, and then you guys shit all over my chest. So
sounds about right.
Yeah.
We McMahoned your story.
Yeah.
You expect
pretty much.
Any less from us?
Well, I expected it from you and KJG, but Tony,
I don't think Tony even,
I didn't even comment.
I know. And that's why you are who you are, Tony. My man.
I also said, after I said a company that's been dead for 35 years, congrats, I said, good for you, buddy. Tell Brett I said, yo.
Yeah, which I fucking wasn't doing after that bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, you know Matt from the Shining Wizards? He said, yo. Oh, who the fuck is that?
What's that about?
Well, I'm glad that you got praise from a peer.
Yeah. It was awesome. Like I said, I was definitely, like I texted you guys, I was floating after he had, because we sat down and we chatted for probably a good 20 minutes, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Sounds big time charity case for Mick, huh?
Yep. You see how you're the only one laughing at that joke, Double T?
Well, Tony wasn't paying attention. So
this fucking asshole.
He really is a dick.
I'm sorry. HK, I think that's so amazing that you got to spend time with Mick. Does that make you feel better? Will you give a eulogy at his funeral?
Well, I don't think he'll ask me to. If he asked me to, I would.
If he asked you while he was deceased, that would
no,
be something else.
Don't you usually set that shit up before you die?
No clue.
I thought you set that shit up before you die.
People even still do eulogies? Is that even a thing?
Yeah, sometimes.
Every funeral I've ever been at, there's never a eulogy. There's speakers, but there's never like a eulogy.
Well, that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but it's like eulogy. Reading verses from the Bible. It's like,
oh, you're talking about just like readers, like the priest and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's never like
a eulogy. No, yeah, you're right. I mean, typically, like when you go to like especially like Catholic services, they don't really
yeah.
do eulogies.
It's like what you see on TV. It's not. It doesn't really happen in real life.
Catholic, you know when people usually will say a word when you're at the cemetery and like the person's gonna go in the tomb or they're gonna you know they're burying them or something like that.
The tomb?
Sometimes, like in the mausoleum, you know, they open up the. You've never been in a mausoleum. You know what a mausoleum is? No, I'm talking to HK. KHK looks surprised.
I don't remember ever being one in the top of my head. Don't ever remember being one.
But you know what a mausoleum is.
Yeah.
But it's weird that you went tomb instead of grave first, though.
Because it's like it's a tomb. It's like in the wall.
Talking about
like grave. Like when you say grave, what do you think? Immediately, you think in the ground.
Correct.
So tomb, you think in the wall. You know.
King Tut, I think.
Yeah. Wait, are you even allowed to do that anymore?
Was that racist?
I don't know. Walk like an Egyptian. That's still a thing.
No, I'm talking about King Tut, not
were the Bengals racist?
Debbie Gibson, wherever the fuck that was.
Debbie Gibson sang "Walk Like an Egyptian."
The Bengals.
Who sang "Walk Like an Egyptian"?
The Bengals.
The Bengals. All right, whatever.
Oh, yo.
That's not a whatever.
In this moment, it's a whatever. I get it now. It's a pretty great song, by the way.
But, yeah, Debbie Gibson did a great job on it.
Oh, Debbie Gibson's huge.
Look at the size of that ass!
So HK did his wrestling gimmick, and then KJG, you ended up at old Dave LaGreca's show.
I did, man.
It's usually where you like, you know.
For this.
I was waiting for a follow-up, like not just like babble on about it. Like, I was like, so how was that? Or like, what
this is our first time.
Bad. It was all
time ever doing the show.
It was a really good time. It was a last minute thing. The night before, Dave Sturcio reached out to me and asked if I wanted to go. And this was he kind of made it seem like he had a plus one sort of deal. Like he got Dave gave him two tickets. His buddy bailed, and he's like, "Are you going tomorrow night? I, you know, I'm going. You know, with this and that." And then once I realized that, like, he won, I was, like, kind of on the fence, but I decided to pull the trigger last minute. I bought a ticket, no problem. Dave's been there for us a million times. I felt like I needed to, like, do something, and I went out and went to the show. It was awesome. It was hysterical. Mark Henry was great. Sam Roberts was hysterical. Don LaGreca was hysterical. Dave put on one hell of a show. It was a really a lot of fun. And then afterwards, Dave had to get back home to his family. He's got kids and all that stuff. So because I'm such a fucking loser and I had no one to come home to.
Wow.
Like I stayed quickly. And got the VIP, went down to the VIP. Kevin Gill, saw OG Kevin Gill. It was awesome. We just sat down at Bull Dempsey, Bull James, if you will. And we just drank beers. In the green room, and it was cool. Got a picture with Mark Henry and Tommy Dreamer and Bubba Ray and Gabby and Dave. Saw Violetta. It was such a great show, Matt. It was awesome.
Oh, it's good. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah, really glad I went. Got home really late because I had to take the last train that they had, which was 12:34, and that was late. So I didn't get home till like close to 2 a.m. So that was like brutal. But other than that, I would do it again. It was awesome.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time, man.
Thank you, dude. Thank you.
Donkalicious, what's going on in your world?
I watched a little bit of AEW. I don't even remember what night it was. Was it Friday's show?
No, it was Wednesday night.
Oh, it was Wednesday. Oh, yeah. It was Wednesday night. Dynamite!
is that where you want to start, big guy?
I mean, like, if you're throwing the ball to me, yeah, I might as well. I mean, get it out of the way.
Okay. So I was coming home.
Coming.
On,
on Wednesday night, and I was...
I'm coming. I'm coming for you, boy. And I'm coming hard. I'm just going to come as hard as I can.
And I was taking a dump, and Tony decided to text me at 8:37.
So you got shit in the toilet and on your phone.
This Hangman Swerve match was dog shit. So I said, I just got home. Who won? No one. Time limit. Overbooked nonsense. I said, of course. And he said, ah, and woo energy on the screen the whole time.
Oh, my God. It's fucking stupid. It's all you see is that fucking caricature of Ric Flair. And it says woo energy. Oh, my God, dude. I don't know what made, I don't know what, you know what possessed me? I was like, eh, people always talk about how good Swerve is and how good this series was, even though I think I remember seeing one of the other matches and I didn't really care for it either. I don't remember. And then I was like, oh, Sting and Darby are wrestling tonight. They're wrestling Big Bill and What's His Nuts. And I was like, yeah, I think I might tune into this. Something inspired me to watch this show. Right, and then about 37 minutes in, something inspired me to fucking shut the TV off and say, fuck this.
So what was it about Swerve and Hangman Page that
It's the same shit. It's like they're standing on the railing and they're holding on to each other to keep balance so one of them could do something to the other. And then a table collapsed, so like they had to figure out how to set up another table because they need to get that spot in. And fucking Swerve hits like three moves in a row, and this fucking douchebag with his porn mustache kicks out every fucking time. It's like, what are we doing? Did we really need 30 fucking minutes for this thing? And people, my favorite is afterwards. Like, oh, it was a double heel turn. It was amazing. Pardon my French, but wasn't fucking Swerve being cheered all the way through this fucking thing anyway? So how the fuck was this a double turn? And we all knew that fucking mustache boy was a dickhead cocksucker for the past couple of weeks. So where was the double turn? Everything was already there.
Yep.
Like, oh, now we decide, like, hey, okay, he's a heel and he's a face. AEW, by the way, telling us who the heels and faces are? Fuck off.
Tony, I got to ask you, though, there was one part in that match that aggravated me almost more than anything else. And you obviously, you know, you fancy the same similar styles of wrestling as I fancy for the most part. Hangman Adam Page outside the ring, table collapses. He's outside the ring for what? Minute and a half?
Oh, they don't give a fuck. They don't care.
Later on in the match, Swerve goes down. Nana dances around him to revive him before he gets counted out at a count of 10.
Yeah.
Where the fuck was the count before?
Nope.
The rules need to fucking matter. It drives me fucking nuts.
Oh, you know what I did? I didn't leave right after this match. Wasn't the women's match right after this?
I believe so.
Oh, I left during that because I said, who was it? Tony Storm? Oh, and fucking Mixer Bat or whatever the fuck her name is. And I saw those two, and then I saw this in the ring. Who's this? And I said, well, that's enough of this.
Yeah.
Yep. That was when I quit. I forgot. I quit after that one.
So your problem, let's just simplify this for everybody, is the lack of selling and the standing around to set moves up.
Yeah, that's all.
It's all look. It's all valid. You're all valid in your anger, but I feel like people need to know why instead of you just going crazy. Like,
well, and this is the kind of shit that I have to deal with. Scott George, friend of the show, not necessarily a friend of mine. From what I can gather, Tony doesn't like much wrestling. No, I love wrestling. I love a competitive match. I love that shit. This is not wrestling. This is not my wrestling. At least,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. Fucker gets beat up like fucking 45 moves. He's up 10 seconds later.
Mm-hmm.
I finished watching that card from the fucking garden. You know, it was amazing. Everybody fucking kept selling shit. Dude was like, I forget who it was. It might've been fucking Rene Goulet getting his ass kicked. He gets up for a comeback. He hits one move and he's still fucking selling the fact that he's beat up. Amazeballs.
And his fucking ankle, Swerve's ankle. Oh, how is he going to do that with his
ankle?
Oh,
my God. And he
out of nowhere.
Forget all about it. 20 seconds later.
Yep. Oh, fucking drives me nuts. And you turned it off before Tony Khan's big announcement.
Oh, no. I heard that. Oh, I heard that. And he's going, no, you failed. Well, you failed too, cocksucker. And now Tony Khan made you look like a dick. And Samoa Joe's like, oh, stuck in the deck against me. This and that. Whatever, dude. Whatever. Another fucking three-way dance. Another match where the champion doesn't have an advantage. Whoop-de-doo. And I'm not just shitting on AEW for that because I hate when fucking WWE does that shit too. Just fucking tired of it. Can we just have a fucking winner to a finish and just fucking move on? If you don't want to give Swerve the title shot yet, then have him get fucked by Paige. Paige is a heel now, you know. Wouldn't fucking hurt if he won a match by nefarious fucking circumstances, right? Give Swerve an out. That's what heels do. They cheat like motherfuckers, and they give the baby face an out. So when push comes to shove, he could always say, it took this, this, and this for you to fucking beat me. Now let's do it without that shit and see what you got. It's simple. I don't even fucking book wrestling, and I can figure this shit out.
So my,
I'm sorry, Matt. What did you think?
No, so my, it does. This is kind of where we are in wrestling, right? I know you guys might not agree with it. This is the product that's put on 95% of the televisions across the board, right? So for what it was, I didn't think it was terrible. But what bothers me is the immediately as soon as it's done. Tony Khan has just made this, like, they don't let it breathe. They
let
don't
it
let
bake
us,
a little bit, man. Let it simmer.
It's like,
let that,
it's like, let it, yeah, like, announce it, like, before the last segment. I don't, like, they're still pulling these guys apart, and, like, Tony Schiavone's like, I've just heard from Tony Khan that this will be a three-way dance. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, bang, 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 bang.
Let them go to the back and give them each a reaction. When the announcement's made, they could show Swerve and fucking Nana doing a dance that they're happy that they got a title match, and they could say, we don't care if Hangman's in it. This is our chance. This is our time. And Hangman could go, no, fuck that guy. I had him fucking beat. He shouldn't get a chance at all, blah, blah, blah. And then you could go to Joe and go, you know what? You stack the deck against me all the time. Fuck yous both. I'm going to choke one of you bitches out. That's how you do it.
Marking out fellow podcasters. When I 100%. Watch AEW, I feel like I'm watching an indie wrestling show instead of a TV presentation.
100%. They can't get out of their own fucking way. They just can't, dude. Somebody's got to tell them, no, don't do this. It's okay not to do all your shit. It is.
It's Can we, like, really, like, be mad at trying to do this differently? Like, is it that serious?
Yeah, because they've been doing the same shit for 4 years. It's not anything different.
Well, no, so I agree with Matt in terms of the announcing shit. Like, and are having a graphic ready before the fucking count is made. I agree with that 100%. But, and I don't even know if this was a double turn. And like, Swerve, like, was a heel. Like, I don't think Swerve ever was a babyface. So I know people are souring on Hangman, but I don't know if this was like a Bret Hart Austin double turn, unless I missed something, but I watched Dynamite and I didn't see it. It was a draw. And now we're going to get a match, a big time marquee match to kind of like co-main event with Sting's last name. So like, I don't think either Paige or Swerve are there yet for a one-on-one match that would main event. So putting them together with Samoa Joe as almost like a second main event to what is clearly Sting's night, I don't think it's that egregious.
Why can't we just give Joe another challenger then?
Who have they booked in that strong spot? These are the two guys.
Well, it's just the check problem. The records.
Orange Cassidy should get that fucking title shot.
Adam Copeland
is number three. So he's in challenge for another championship.
Yeah, but if one and two can fight each other to figure out who the number one contender is.
Three doesn't deserve a spot at that table. Right?
Let him have a fucking tournament.
I was like super duper high on Joe as champion in that Hook match, but he has not wrestled once since he defended the title against Hook.
Because AEW, they don't know what to do, man. They just don't. They start building shit up like in an awesome way, and then it just fucking falls off.
Oh fuck! So I'm gonna go back to when I was talking to Slick Mick. We were talking about wrestling that I enjoy and that he enjoys in today's wrestling, and Slick Mick, unprompted, said Tony Khan is just a man playing with his action figures, and I almost shit my pants because I told him, I said, Mr. Karch, I've been saying that for at least 2 years, and it makes me very happy to hear somebody like you say it too.
And it's definitely right. And it's not perfect, but I think AEW has been a lot better than it has been in the past. They're doing the best they can without certain people there. So like, they're trying with Paige again. it just is what it is. We just have it's going to have a huge uptake when Okada and Ospreay come in. I think it's going to be presented better than it ever has been for wrestling fans. They're not going to draw anyone new, but they're still be like, I'm going to be more intrigued by it.
It depends. Me and I did Bread Club today with Kieran, and I think I can speak for Kieran because we kind of agree that part of the appeal for the Okadas and the Ospreys and even the Jay Whites and Tanahashis of the world is that you don't get to see them every week on TV, right? So it feels a little more special when you do get to see them, right? Jay White's on Dynamite every week, and I'm the biggest fucking Jay White fan there is now. I could care less. Like, I'm not tuning. I don't want to see Jay White. What's he, the Ring of Honor six-man champion? And he's
bang,
teaming
bang,
with
scissor
the acclaimed now? Like, it's just there's nothing special about him. And Will Ospreay's going to show up next week because he's on the road to Revolution, whatever, and he's going to beat fucking Matt Sydal on Rampage or some useless throwaway match, and he's going to end up in the ring with, like, Hook, and I'm not going to fucking care.
So you can
be excited for Okada to show up and Will Ospreay, but I don't know. Like, I don't have enough confidence in Tony Khan to book them in a story or a way that would make them feel as important as they are.
Right, and that's fair. But let's not pretend like this is the first time that's ever happened with any company. Harley Race was the NWA World Champion time and time again. Went to WWE because it was a new opportunity and was the king. So, like, it's not like we're not like reaching new ground here where people have to be used the same way they were used somewhere else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always have to be what you were here is what you have to be there.
Right, but he's got a big announcement. He announces he signs Will Ospreay on World's End. To, you know, so you have big expectations for him. You're doing a show out of Boston called Big Business where Mercedes Moné is going to show up. She has to be in the women's title picture immediately. Yeah. You can't have her show up and beat fucking Queen Amidala or whoever, whatever the fuck her name is.
Wait, time out. What?
What?
Yeah, she hasn't won any matches. How could she be the title picture
right
away?
Yeah, she's 0-0, bro.
That's hey, bro.
Look,
want the rankings to come back. I don't know.
Somebody like a Sasha Banks coming in, you have to know that the other promotion knows who she is, right? Like, so somebody like that, you might get away with injecting them into something.
Tournament.
But what's wrong with bringing in somebody like a Will Ospreay or an Okada to have some fucking vignettes to build this up? You know what I'm saying? Do something. Give me fucking 30 seconds. Give me just like a shadow of him or something.
That's a
or
great
like,
point.
Or like him talking with fucking like a caption underneath that says like, you know, like I'm coming and I mean business. Something stupid like that. And just like fucking like coming soon. And then the next week you just see Okada on the screen. It's like, oh shit. And then a couple weeks in, he makes his debut. Let him kick the shit out of Johnny Silver for fucking 4 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Build him up. Let people know who he is, what his talents are, what his finish is.
Yeah.
Let him fucking get in the ring and do the Rainmaker so people go, holy shit, he took that motherfucker's head off.
You're
now this guy
right,
means
Tony,
something.
Tony, you're so right because AEW has always fallen into the habit, which is fun in the moment, of just turning the lights off. And then there's your surprise.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Like it's no, like we said earlier.
That is the problem.
Let the shit bake, yeah. Fucking turn the oven on and just let it sit for an hour. Let it sit for 90 minutes.
I couldn't agree more. And I think with a guy like Okada or a guy like, I mean, we already know Ospreay's coming, right? Because he was on the show months ago saying that he was going to be here. But Okada is, how would you introduce Okada to like the full-time American, even though AEW's audience probably already knows him anyway, but like, how would you do it?
Tony's idea with the vignettes is great. You also have fucking Kenny Omega there. Even if he's on the shelf, like Omega Okada trilogy is really what put fucking New Japan in the eyes of a lot of American fans.
Yeah.
So like use Kenny Omega to be like, oh, he's showing up. He's coming. I've been on the receiving end of that move, and that might be the most devastating move I've ever taken. Like, yeah. Use what you have. Like, yep. Tony's right, man. You don't need to just, you know, it's like fucking cooking a perfect steak. You just can't fucking press it down on the grill and cover it. You got to let it fucking sit and cook, and then you got to let it cool, and so it's perfect. Like, there's no need to rush this. People know he's coming, but goddamn, make it feel like a special event. Tony's absolutely right, 100%.
I agree.
Let him murder a couple of people.
Oh, yeah.
That's all, seriously.
Yeah, it's, look, there's, and it's funny, because Mark and Out said that it would, Dynamite feels like he's watching indie show, but Collision, I think, is like 100 times better than Dynamite.
Yeah, I watched both, and I enjoyed Collision more, but I didn't hate Dynamite either. But I enjoyed Collision a lot more.
Does this mean I'm gonna have to watch Collision this week?
I think, Tony, I think you might. I think it's almost like the Raw SmackDown comparison back in the day, where like Raw had what they were doing, whatever, and then SmackDown had Heyman and his guys, and it was a very wrestling centric show.
Yes. Like the Guerreros and the Benoits and the Shelton Benjamins and Charlie Haas's and the Rey Mysterios. And it was, yeah, Kurt Angle. Like, yes, that's 100% accurate.
There was a fucking throwaway Blackpool Combat Club match this week against two nobodies from fucking CMLL. Because everybody else is in Japan for Fantastic Mania.
Yeah, way to get those new fucking CMLL guys over.
I'm going to make them drink their fucking blood. But it looks like it might set up the Blackpool Combat Club against FTR, so that could be fun. I really like Daniel Garcia against Shane Taylor. And then because I'm a fucking New Japan mark, Big Tom Ishii and Pockets was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and also you had the Daniel Garcia's interaction with Copeland, and that was pretty fun. That was a nice exchange, like, kind of healing him a little bit, saying you're not taking food off my fucking family's table and all that bullshit.
Oh, fuck Edge too. He's got more than enough food on his fucking table, fucking asshole.
I stay
here. Milk your wife's big tits. Y'all have plenty of fucking food.
Oh, God.
Mark announces not just Dynamite. All of the shows are like that. There's hardly any stories, and then people are like, the stories are in the matches, and that's why it's like an indie show.
I think they've gotten better.
I think they've gotten better.
Kevin, I really do think they've gotten better with their stories. They're trying more. Like, I feel like Tony is like hearing the criticism, and he's trying at least. Now, are they all going to be home runs, HK? No, probably not. But I think he's definitely doing more than he has in the past.
Well, no, they're not all going to be home runs, but it'd be nice if the motherfucker could hit a double.
I mean,
can we get some guys in scoring position, for Christ's sake?
Right.
That's a baseball reference, Matt.
Thanks,
I'm the fucking expert.
Yeah, put Tony the baseball expert on your nameplate there.
Well, we have new. Excuse me. What is this? Mike Peterson says currently stealing Diana. Rest in peace, HK.
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know what that means.
Are you trying to steal my mom, bro?
I don't know what that means. Is this breaking news?
No.
Well, Sting and Darby Allin beat Big Bill and Ricky Starks to become the AEW World Tag Team Champions.
Oh, and then the fucking Handjob Express came in with fucking lead pipes, these fucking douchebags.
Matthew and Nicholas?
Oh, fuck them. And the fact that you call them Matthew and Nicholas, you should fuck off, too.
That's what they would like to be referred to as now.
What, the fuck-offs?
No, Matthew and Nicholas. They're birth
Good
names.
Good for them. Great. Wonderful. Fuck them.
Fuck them, huh? What else is going on in AEW world? I just want to make sure we hit on all the AEW stuff before we move on.
Oh, fuck it. I saw Jericho look like fucking Ronald McDonald on the cruise. Is that what you were talking about last week? What in the fuck, dude? Seriously.
He was doing his
dude.
That was David Bowie.
You've got to be an anorexic fucking douche nozzle to pull off that look. This fucker looked like he had too many French fries. His fucking belly was hanging out. It was like the meanie, but it was unintentional. You know what I mean?
Meanie. You know what I mean?
Terrible. Fucking terrible.
Check your inbox, Mike Peterson.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, shit. Uh-oh.
I'm gonna eat his ass.
I played with the soundboard this week.
I like wait, your I like what? Your sound. The sound
balls.
You know who that is? It's Cody.
Balls. Dick. Pussy.
I could go down the whole row.
Balls. Dick. Pussy. Ass.
Boobies. I love cocks.
My I'm nuts
is the DX McMahon thing, right? Oh boy.
Yuck. People try to come in my face.
Jesus Christ. What are we doing here?
Oh yeah.
Oh look, thanks Theo Von. Well, you mentioned Cody.
Whoa!
And we had our WrestleMania 40 press conference Thursday night. Let's get Tony's nitpicking out of the way first. Go ahead.
All right. Bloodline. So, and I think we talked about it when we were fucking squadding up doing some Fortnite action. By the way, fucking Matt pulled one out of the fucking fire yesterday, and we got a victory royale because of his fucking quick thinking and his last elimination.
Attaboy.
Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing.
What is a victory royale?
That's when you win, bro. You're the last team standing.
With cheese.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Lots of cheese on that fucking clam. here's the one thing that I don't like. They didn't explain why Cody had this change of heart or why he was allowed to have this change of heart. Because Friday on SmackDown, he was like, I'm going to finish my story, but not at WrestleMania. And then he came out on Thursday and he said, fuck that, I'm finishing my story. But it would have been nice to have a little something to connect the dots there. Don't get me wrong. Right result. I just wish that the story was better, you know, to figure that shit out.
Well, I guess at the end of the day, until you put pen to paper or like the event passes, then I guess you could technically get away with that. Like, unless they do like a segment with a contract signing or like with either Cody or The Rock. So if Cody said no and then they did a contract signing with The Rock and Roman, then Cody's shit out of luck. But until they do that, or if they did that, like, then I guess Cody still has every option to make his call.
But on top of that, too, on Friday on SmackDown, they started off with Triple H and Aldis and Pierce in the ring. And Triple H, in no uncertain terms, said, you know, like, no, it doesn't matter what anybody else wants. This is what we're doing. Cody's got his shot. And that was it, you know, done. But it would have been nice to have Cody say, like, you know, like, I was bamboozled. I was hornswoggled. You think you're going to fuck with me? I won the Royal Rumble. I still have that right, and I'm cashing in. Something like that. Just give me a little something, a little something.
I think they're reacting in real time to something that may have either been a mistake or something. Maybe they just fucking with us this entire time. And this was just a way to we do what we've done. And I think that because they were reacting so fast, if they really were going to go with Rock Roman and then had to pivot back to Cody, I mean, I feel like they had to do it this way.
They were a bunch of bitches too. They were talking shit about Dusty and his family, and then he was like, they would be embarrassed. They were like, oh shit, you're talking about my family now? And first of all, their fucking grandfathers aren't even related. Did you read that family tree a little bit? Like, I'm picking nits now, but fuck them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, they're blood brothers. No, they're not. They're not even fucking related. And then they snuck Jimmy Snuka up there, a fucking murderer, by the way. And then they snuck Jacob Fatu and Lance Anoa'i in there. They were doing a lot of weird shit with this fucking tree that nobody talked about, which makes me wonder, are they trying to fucking, you know, hey, Jacob, Jacob. Jesus.
Jacob, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob. Hey, man, why don't you fucking come in, you know, like maybe trying to get him to be part of this shit. But I do like the fact that they were taking things seriously. Seth Rollins was shit on way too much, and he was like, fuck this, like standing up, manning up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't afraid. Like, I get it. You can't have a fucking all-out brawl at this thing, but when Cody got slapped, Seth was right up there too. He was like, who the fuck do you think you're? And like, not so much all the cursing, but it was peppered in there enough where it like made it feel like, oh shit, this is fucking serious shit going on right here, you know? Yeah, and so CM Punk, by the way, in the background going, if somebody fucking hit me, I'd punch him in the face. And you see The Rock behind him looking up going, what the fuck did he say? Fucking loved it. And he and Punk's going, he's doubling down. He's going, he's management. And management put their hands on him? I would have punched him in the face. God damn, CM Punk is fucking great.
Matthew Birch, my main issue with the press event was how they constantly went out of their way to bury Seth Rollins in the World Heavyweight title. By Roman constantly calling it the loser bracket championship.
Which makes me wonder if going into WrestleMania night two for this main event, that even though Seth Rollins is not a Cody Rhodes fan, he might come out and fucking back him up. And when Cody wins that title, we get that fucking WrestleMania 40 moment with the two of them in the ring together. Because Seth is coming out of this. He started like looking like second rate. But he was manning up and standing up at this thing. And I think it comes full circle for him where hopefully he beats fucking, you know, what's his nuts. Because he's going to wind up fighting Claymore. That's the way that's looking. So hopefully he beats Claymore and we get that moment. If he doesn't, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let me ask you guys this. Do we think, as KJG said before, do we think... right, this was always the plan, or do you think that they pivoted away from Cody because of the Vince sex trafficking allegations, and then they pivoted again because of the vitriol, the hate for The Rock?
The second part is true. The first part, I think they pivoted because of The Rock. I think The Rock probably felt that, you know, him injecting himself into the main event would have gotten more eyes on the product and making things like more, you know, mainstream happy. Oh, The Rock, he's back in wrestling and he's challenging for the world championship. That's what I think the thought process was for the first part. Second part, complete 100% pivot. 100%.
So I'm like 50-50 torn on this only because, yes, I do agree with what Tony just said, that Rock coming back, apparently that was in a contract. He has to be in a high-profile match at WrestleMania or something like that. And he put himself – I do believe that he put himself in this match. But the other half of me says, listen, Triple H is smart. The Rock is smart. Roman is smart. Paul Heyman is smart. All these guys are smart. Cody's smart. So, like, I definitely see that possibility that they were totally going to – swerve. I think they're gonna get swerved every week from now until WrestleMania, but in a more constructive way. Like, if it was me, I would put Rock against Rollins at Mania now. Like, you call this if they didn't turn him heel, which they did. So if you were gonna keep Rock a babyface, I would have been like, you call this like the loser championship, the second tier bracket? How about I win it, and then I fucking hold it up over my head, and that's, so you call it like a second tier championship now, and then eventually get the Roman line, but then no choice but to turn heel unless it was the plan the whole time.
The only thing I'll disagree with you on is right now Drew McIntyre is doing amazing things on Raw. The way he talks to Cody, saying, good on you, Cody. You listen to me. You got your shot. Good for you. Now I'm going to elevate that world championship because Seth Rollins is a douche.
So just because we talked about part of the story is that like Cody Rhodes' whole thing to tease him and Seth Rollins is that Cody Rhodes beat him, right? Or something like that, three times. I don't see Drew McIntyre main eventing night one or WrestleMania.
I do.
That's fine. Agree to disagree on that. I don't see Drew McIntyre as a WrestleMania main eventer, even though it already has been. Just don't see it. If they add more people to the match, if they can like get Sami Zayn there and make it like a final, we hate Fatal 4-Ways. But I think you need to make night one main event like something more than just Seth and Drew McIntyre. I'm not buying Drew. I'm just not.
Oh, Drew's doing amazing work right now, though. Amazing work. When he's saying he prayed and his prayers were answered and CM Punk was fun. It's all been great. When he's talking shit, he's like, hey, good for you, Cody. You did the right thing. I was like, fucking A, dude. Oh, what a douche. And he comes out with his fucking skirt on and everything.
So, yeah, that's, yeah. So, like, I don't know if it's because of how, when he had his top moments, it was because we were all shut down and it was the pandemic. And Vince McMahon was still in charge of the book. So, like, I don't know if that kind of detracted me from him. And I thought, like, he was, when he came back, I couldn't be more happy when he came back to WWE. But it was just a weird time when he was at his peak. And they were trying, I'd rather have Bobby Lashley in the spot, to be honest with you.
Terrible.
Matt, I'll challenge Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania.
Hey, can I ask a side question real quick? It got me thinking now that we're talking about Drew having his moment during the pandemic, right? Did any of the WWE video games ever have like a Thunderdome mode where instead of like an audience, it was screens?
I feel like we should be asking you that question.
I'm pretty sure they did. I'm not 100%, but I could almost swear that I saw it.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just something popped into my head. Because, like, think about, realize this. COVID started four. All right, marking out got me. Yes, beautiful. That shit was 4 years ago already. Yeah. Four years ago. We were in, like, empty arenas, and we were in, like, Daly's place, and we were having mystical, magical fucking Hardy Boys in Stadium Stampede matches. And The Undertaker having his last ride with AJ. Like, that was 4 years ago already.
Dude, I went to New York City for the first time in like 5 years last night. Or
you
Saturday.
See, you see a lot of vagrants and people like that hanging around?
Nah.
It's fucking bad, dude. It was. We went over the summer. It was bad.
No, it wasn't terrible.
I want to hit some comments, and I want to hear HK's thoughts on the Rock, Roddy, Roman, Cody Roddy. Situation.
Roddy!
Mike Peterson, Drew is probably the most over guy right now in the E. Marking out, Rock versus Roman is definitely a huge match, and it's the match we've all wanted to see for years. But we spent 2 years waiting for Cody, being invested in Cody.
Yep.
MB, I don't think there's a chance Seth walks out of Mania as champion. McIntyre has been too good lately, and the title needs a change of direction and a strong heel champion to better establish it. Scott George, if I were Cody, I'd go after The Rock and Roman too, had he not been getting held back by Papa H.
Yeah, that was during the press conference.
Odd points.
Oops, sorry. HK, yes. You were in old Mexico, but upon your return to the States, did you let it simmer? Did you marinate in it for a little while?
I marinated a little bit. You know, I very much enjoyed the press conference, the interaction between Rock, Cody, Roman. I thought they did a fantastic job. The switch or the change, however you want to put it, I'm okay with. We're gonna get to a spot where I think we all want to be, and that's Cody and Roman at Mania. So I'm okay with it. As far as Drew goes and Seth goes, I think Drew is doing some of his best work, if not his best work that he's ever done right now. With that being said, I kind of agree with Megatron there. I think that he's, you know, maybe still not. I lost the ball to you. I still don't know if he is the you know, that Mania main event. I don't know if I see him there. And that's likely just because when he did have it was during, you know, COVID and the empty arena and all that. If there was a time for him to be in that spot, I would think right now would be it because of his current work. The flip side of that is that everything that I read is that his contract is up shortly after Mania. I don't know if there's been an extension or anything like that signed or if he's worked a new deal, but if his contract is in fact up after Mania, then, I mean, what are they going to do with him?
If Seth is hurt and you need to take the belt off of him and mm-hmm. maybe that's a thank you to Drew for being the champion during the pandemic and not getting that as we say, the WrestleMania moment because mm-hmm. he didn't win it in front of anybody. I mean, could you imagine the night after Mania if Sami Zayn beats fucking Drew McIntyre for that title?
I'll be beautiful.
And Drew's out of the company, you know, because his contract's expired.
Mm-hmm. I would do that anyway.
Is Sami Zayn as over as he was last year?
No.
That's a problem then.
It's not his fault.
He could still get there.
Yeah, but you got to build him back up. You got three. You got two. Well, when is Mania? It's like early?
April.
Oh, so they got a month and a half yet.
April 6th. Well, both probably. Yeah, I think April 6th and April 7th.
Yeah.
I would do it anyway. Or Damian is still in the woods too, but he has still money in the bank. He has a full calendar year to cash in. But so here we go. I would 100% do what Tony said and have Sami Zayn beat Drew McIntyre the night after on that Raw if Drew McIntyre wins. Who said that?
Take it, run with it.
No, I don't want that. I don't want Sami Zayn to win. I would put Gunther or an outside shot Bron Breakker.
Ooh. Ugh.
You want to fucking make that dude?
Not bad. Not bad.
He got the fucking Brock Lesnar spot in the Rumble.
Why not?
I kind of forgot that Priest still has that Money in the Bank situation, so it wouldn't be bad for him to walk down.
Guys they have.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a good spot right now, WWE. They got a lot of guys clamoring for those top spots.
Yeah. Would you, so what we're hearing now, still 2 months out, the proposed idea is Rhodes and Rollins against Rock and Roman night one.
No.
Rock and Cody night two.
No. Wait, Rock and
Cody?
Rock and Cody?
Cody and Roman, sorry.
No, you can't do that shit. You can't do that shit. That's stupidity. That's like putting fucking your Ring of Honor tag team champions in the opening match and then one of them defending the world title at the wait a minute. That's a fucking terrible idea. Es muy terrible. Señor Money in the Banco agrees.
I do.
Dinero en la banca.
I do. I did like the press conference too. I thought they did. Again, there's still like a lot of holes, as Tony pointed out. Cody saying he wants to do it on SmackDown, and then now he wants it at Mania, and then making Seth look goofy. But I think this kind of rights the ship, and it's like, you know, Rock and Roman can have beef with each other. But then when you talk about their family, well, you don't have the right to do that. They can talk about each other, but you can't. So
yeah, but they
like
fucking
that.
Talk shit about Dusty Rhodes, so fuck them both.
No,
yeah.
It's good. It's a pivot I don't think we saw coming. And I like the image of Roman, Paul Heyman, and The Rock walking down an aisle. The corridor there after the press conference from behind is amazing. Yeah. The Rock telling Triple H to fucking fix it. If he talks shit again, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of him.
Like, fuck him too.
But that's
thing. No, it was good shit. You're 100% right.
Good shit. It gives it a real fucking vibe. Fucking The Rock going on the Pat McAfee show and being like, "Oh, the Cody crybaby's dad. Come outside, never catch with me." Oh, what a... like just straight up being a fucking pompous asshole heel. And then they're gonna be on SmackDown this Friday night. Like I think the road to WrestleMania will be a lot of fun with this stuff. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
It's already been fun. Like, Mania could be next weekend, and I am fully invested.
It could be next year. It will be next year, but it could be next year, and I will watch every show until, like, that happens. But going back to your point about having them wrestle, I would treat all of my top guys right now with mittens. Like kid gloves, because I do not want to risk someone getting hurt and 100%. totally effing up the plan. Because you saw that with Cody a couple years ago. I really don't like the idea of people wrestling twice in the same weekend. I know it's wrestling. I know it's been done for years, but on this biggest scale, when you've had this much invested in your story, I will treat them with kid gloves from now until Mania. Like, That's just my thing. And then Mania, maybe, I guess you can have one of them work twice, but like, what if someone gets hurt the first night and then the second night is fucking blown to smithereens?
Yeah.
At the same time, you can't necessarily, like, you can't operate with that. I mean, somebody can fucking blow a knee or break a goddamn arm in the first 30 seconds of the match and it's toast.
Right.
So you can't really operate that. I mean, I understand what you're saying for sure, kid gloves and all that, but you can't fully operate like that. They're not going to work because we can't risk losing them.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to do everything you possibly could? WrestleMania is already sold out.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I agree with KGG. I just would not put them in stupidity. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't put them in a fucking tag match or some other nonsense the first night of WrestleMania. Ooh. I wouldn't have them doing like 20-minute fucking matches or anything on Raw or SmackDown or anything like that.
I think MB makes a nice point here. I think they could be setting up potential Cody and Seth versus Roman and Rock for Backlash after Mania because Backlash is in France.
Oh, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, ho. Suck on that bigot, we. Yeah, I think that you could be doing that. I like that idea, too.
Can you stretch that to SummerSlam?
Scott That's George Russell says Rock couldn't walk on to the stage without being blown up. How's he going to wrestle a singles match?
Yeah, he had a hard time doing that head of the table promo a couple of weeks back.
He'll
yeah,
be
the tag
fine.
Match makes most sense for Rock, obviously. But yeah, I would just be so nervous having them wrestle both nights.
CM Punk said his comeback will be the greatest of all time.
Woohoo! Good for him.
I agree.
I guess. I don't know if he doesn't get fucking hurt again.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, he can do commentary, man. He can do it no problem. So even if, you know, if he does come back and gets hurt again, maybe if he wants to hang up, there's a spot for him in the booth, man. There is definitely a spot for him in the booth.
A little Mr. Perfect Roddy Piper action.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to touch on Johnny Ace before we take a break?
I'm going to get to touch your body.
Johnny Ace.
Yeah, Johnny Ace's lawyer claims the WWE knew about Ashley Massaro's rape claim, yeah, and they did nothing about it, according to Johnny Ace's lawyer.
I can believe that, actually. I can absolutely believe that. It's fucking despicable what happened to that poor woman.
Johnny Ace is getting the fuck out in front of this, though, as much as he possibly can.
So he has to. This is the play he has to make, yeah.
It's not good, my friends. It's not good. The dominoes,
no bueno, as we say.
Dominoes will continue to fall.
Do you think Vince lives to the end of the year?
No.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that, like, will actually, like, kill you from natural causes. Like, this is like a thing that will, I agree with you, he will not live till the end of the year.
Yeah, there's no way he sees the end of this lawsuit.
Are you guys excited for WWE Speed?
What the fuck is that?
It will be a weekly series on the social media platform X. There'll be 5-minute matches.
Great. Nope.
The winner of the match receives a point. The loser is docked a point, and if the bout goes to a time limit draw, no points are awarded. A 5-minute countdown clock appears on the video wall during the contest. Axiom versus Cedric Alexander plus Bronson Reed versus Nathan Frazier were the first two matches at the December taping.
Are we going to see people like Akira Tozawa and like Shush Boy and all that?
Probably.
Fuck. All right. You know what? Fuck it. Whatever. Can't hurt. If nobody watches it, they'll stop doing it.
It'll be on fucking X.
I don't want to see Nashon Frazier in a 5-minute match.
You don't want to see Nathan Frazier in a 5-minute match?
What about what's his name? Noam Dar. Can he defend his cup?
Oh, fuck the cup.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck the cup.
Fuck the cup.
How rude.
It sucks.
Do you guys like when people have to qualify for the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, it gives them something to do.
So I like it because it makes sense because there's only a certain amount of spots. And, like, other than, like, contrast to the Royal Rumble when they have qualifying matches, and there's only, like, 5 qualifying matches when there's 30 fucking spots in the Rumble and only, like, 5 people have to qualify for it. Like, I don't hate the qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber.
Okay, so here's who's in already. Drew and Randy Orton are in.
Yep.
That's right.
Now, on Raw, LA Knight will face Ivar in a qualifying match.
Gee, I wonder who's winning that.
Bobby Lashley faces Bronson Reed in the other.
Ooh! Speed.
Bronson Speed.
And then in the women's elimination chamber, Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair have already qualified. You'll see Naomi against Zelina Vega and Tiffany Stratton against Shotzi.
Ugh. Oh, you got to put Stratton in. You have to. I am not anti-Shotzi by any stretch, but you can't put her in that match over Tiffany Stratton. You just can't do it. It seems like she doesn't have good in-ring chemistry with anybody.
Who?
Shotzi.
Have you seen Tiffany Stratton with her?
What's that, Megatron? One more time.
Have you seen Tiffany Stratton? She's no, Bryan Danielson either.
Her work on NXT is outstanding.
See her work in the Rumble?
Yeah, saw a lot of people work in the Rumble. Rumble's different. Rumble is different.
It wasn't different for Maxine Dupri.
She can do whatever she wants. She's fine. She can do whatever she wants. Anything. Don't you start with that, Tony. Don't you start with that.
Well,
do not get off.
So, yeah, that's what. And then Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax at Elimination Chamber as a match as well.
She did it for the Rock.
Judgment Day against Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. So that's what the Elimination Chamber is looking like right now.
I hope those fuckers win the tag belts. That'd be awesome.
Butch and Mutt?
Fuck yeah.
No.
Come on, Butch. You're going to win the belts. Come on, Butch.
Butch is dead. They disowned Butch.
But whatever.
He's back to being Pete. No, not whatever.
Is he the Bruiserweight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Good for him. What'd you get, your wisdom teeth pulled?
Let's take a break. Let's fix KJG's internet. And we still got to talk about Scott D'Amore getting fired from TNA. New Japan had a pretty badass show. Billy Jack Haynes killed his wife. So we're going to cover all that and more.
Your turn. Cybertron's coming to you now, too.
Oh, no. Really?
Oh, yep. Now you're back. Okay.
What the fuck? I don't even have the
Oh, you're fine now. You're fine.
I don't even have the gimmick on the screen to tell me I'm losing my internet. Storm's coming, HK.
Coming. Oh, wait. Somebody say coming?
Come Tuesday?
I'm going to come on you like nobody's ever come on you before.
Hey!
I mean, for God's sakes, I came!
You stole my gimmick.
You're going to bust a nut. I don't care. You come in my face.
Did Kevin... He just left?
I don't know what...
I got a real good one I got in the pocket I'm saving, though.
Jesus.
This is called a bitch.
When I get my hands on you, I'm going to eat your ass.
Where the fuck did he go?
I don't know. He just fucking left.
Oh, fuck this.
All right. Well,
yeah, come on.
Please. Back after this.
Thank God.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on The Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, check out the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering the history of wrestling year by year. Also from Gorilla Brain is the Tots Pod with Handsome Kevin and Loverboy Al, telling people to get off the lawn and reviewing wrestling figures. Also on Mondays, get your horror fix with 30 Screams or Less featuring Steve and Corey, where they review a horror film in 30 minutes or less. Monday nights live, it's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. Wednesday nights, it's the Mark Order Podcast, covering everything AEW with Ant Money, Kate the Great, Ryan Schlong, and Asian Joe. Get your metal fix on Fridays with Snowy and Aaron on Radioactive Metal, the longest-running metal podcast on the planet. Saturdays, it's High Five Tom and Will Mercier on ROH Revelry, covering the history of Ring of Honor. On Sundays, it's Inconclusive Breakdown with Justin and Vince, covering the week in pop culture, politics, and more. The Shining Wizards Network also features other great shows, including Bread Club, where Kieran and Matt cover everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, where brothers Alan and Tom watch some of the greatest and not-so-great matches in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where the Impact Fly of Phil Rea discusses current wrestling while paying homage to the past. And Wrestling Night in Canada, where Snowy, Matt, and Dustin put a north of the border perspective on the world of wrestling. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You ever find yourself in the men's room and you've had one windjammer that's stuck in your butthole and it just doesn't want to come out, no matter how hard you push or try to cut it? You need to get yourself a pair of turd tongs. With a comfort tip and a cushion grip, it's the easiest way to get those windjammers out of your butthole. And if you act now, you can get the bonus butt scraper absolutely free. Get a set for your car, put a set in the office, have one in each bathroom in your home. Turd tongs and the butt scraper will absolutely help you. You'll be so happy, you'll want to spend every waking moment in the men's room, even if you don't have to go to the bathroom. So get on the phone right now. Call 551-333-1030 for only $19.95 plus $3 shipping and handling, or send check or money order to Turd Tongs at the address on your screen.
I just realized it said, please wait 6 to 8 years for them to arrive?
Yeah.
That's a mighty long wait if you got a jammer.
That's a Smash Mouth reference. Walking on the Sun.
Big Smash Mouth guy?
Tony's pretty clever. Did you notice the company?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. What was that? Picked up on that.
Fuck yeah. I'm picking up what I'm putting down and all that good shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dick!
Oh.
Balls!
Ooh.
Pussy!
Hey!
And I'm coming hard.
Oh!
So.
And Sting! Oh, he's coming!
Yikers.
It's Sting! Oh, he's coming.
Hard at work this weekend, huh?
Yeah, I was just having some fun.
You want to hear? I know. I appreciate it.
You want to hear the coup de grace?
Yo, homeboy! Welcome to the hood, brother!
Terra illustrates my era.
Yo, homeboy! Welcome to the hood, brother! All right, show of hands. Who among the four of us thought Taz was black? Come on! I thought he was black.
I didn't think he was black because of his last name, but that's the only reason.
Yeah, but had you not known his last name, come on.
Yeah, had I not known his last name. I actually thought that Johnny B. Badd was black.
Me too!
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Taz. Not Taz, though.
Really?
Sounds so fucking Italian. Brother.
Yeah, but he was so tan. Like,
so was fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but come on. Hogan had blonde hair and a fucking Fu Manchu.
That's a good point.
Oh, fuck. What old wrestler did I recently see who still had the fucking tan? And I was like, dear God, you have to have... You look
it wasn't
like
Mitch
a fuck...
the Glitch, whatever his name was.
No,
was
you
it?
Look like a fucking hot dog that got left in the fucking the hot dog water for way too long.
He was perma-baked.
Fuck, who was it? God damn it, this is gonna fucking bother me now. Are any of you guys friends with fucking Chris Cruz on Facebook?
No. Why?
Was you it know Chris Cruz? Christopher Cruz. Chris Cruz, yeah. Fucking right?
Yeah.
So I guess he like hates wrestling now, especially George South.
Oh yeah, I've heard of yeah. I heard about this. Yes.
So I'm Facebook friends with him, and I don't know how or why, but he lives to fucking shit all over George South. Everything George South does.
What did George South do to this guy?
I have no fucking idea.
Now I got to do some Googling.
Let's see if I don't know if he did anything to him. It's George South. It's any bad independent wrestling promotion posters he likes to shit on. Christopher Cruz.
Oh, here we go. Oh, he hates. Oh, why didn't this come up? The site.
Look,
can't
you
be
rubes.
Reached.
I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday. Adults need that. Don't need that. Grow up. Here's a. he shared a picture of some fucking three independent wrestlers. One guy's a fat guy and he's got the t-shirt where it's cut out on the side. Mm-hmm. He says, "You've heard of side boob. Here's side gut." and then he quoted his own picture with so much chubbiness. He's fucking miserable. Where is a fucking. I gotta find a. He hates George South. Hates him. I don't know why.
There's wrestlingclassics.com. There's a chat, and it says Chris Cruz's Facebook. This is from September. He seems to have a dislike of George South and Ricky Morton. Somebody responded.
Yes.
Don't know that he dislikes them personally. He just seems to think they're embarrassing themselves in the biz by continuing to wrestle at their ages. Jimmy Valiant is another favorite target of the Crispy Cruiser. Is he known as Crispy Cruiser?
I have no idea.
He is now.
Two days ago, he shared an image from the NAWA Born to Be Wild NAWA Carolina title match, George South versus Luke Fury. Were they trying to get my attention? My God, this is bad. The dude on the left looks like he weighs 110 pounds and could be the great-grandson of the dude on the right who appears to be holding the biggest, worst-designed pro wrestling belt known to man.
So all he does is shit on everything.
Let's see. Farts seem like a design flaw to me. Toe cheese, too, but what do I know? No, sometimes he gives general thoughts, too.
Yeah, it sounds really insightful.
Somebody says he's working and that this is his gimmick.
His gimmick? He used to write into Meltzer. Like in the 80s.
Oh, God.
And like shit all over like the product.
Check this out. Ray Odyssey responded, the surfer. He worked in IWCCW for a while. He called a title change between me and Taz. And there's a YouTube clip. Chris Cruz has been around a long fucking time.
The Crispy Cruiser.
It all comes back together. We all bring it back together here.
Fuck yeah.
Beautiful.
The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We got a brand new Patreon gimmick going on out there. So if you want to check out the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/wizardspodcast for as little as $1 a month. You can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. $3 a month. You'll get access to, what are we doing? What's that? The Claw.
Bonus shows.
I didn't know what you were doing.
Who, me?
Yes.
I was amazed by my fingers on the screen.
I thought I was reading the wrong fucking shit over here. So you're going, I'm going one, then you're going three, then you're going, ah, the claw.
I was doing the octopus.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, look, if you enjoy the show and you want to check us out and support us, patreon.com for as little as $1 a month. $3 a month, you get the bonus content. $5 a month, you get mentioned as a producer. $10 a month, you get to be part of our monthly Patreon bonus show.
Which, in case everyone's wondering, if you're on the $10 tier and you are listening to my voice, we've been playing around with the idea of not only doing wrestling talk, but maybe doing some online gaming with everyone. The Jackbox is kind of on my radar again, and it would be really easy to get everybody into the StreamYard watching the same screen, participating. So keep your eyes out for that. We may give that a go probably next weekend. If you're available and you want to join us, if you're at that $10 level, come on aboard.
So be sure to check it out, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you can't afford it or you just don't have the money right now, that's okay. But feel free, share it with your friends. It costs you nothing to hit the share button. And that goes across the board on all forms of social media for the Wizards. If money's tight, we completely understand. But it costs you nothing to share or tell your friends or leave a review. It's all free and it helps us in ways that we can never truly thank you for. Does that make any sense?
Doesn't make sense.
I'll give you an octopus.
That'll there you go. Tony will give you an octopus.
And Kevin will 96 you. Speaking of Kevin's, I guess Megatron is out for a while.
I don't know. He's trying to fix his interwebs. Megatron is not breaking. Your fucking Megatron broke me, dude. I was not.
It took me a second. I was like, oh, shit.
Well, I guess because he can't. Hear
no, he has no idea.
Through.
It's what we
right.
hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, busy week last week. TNA Impact completely rebrands itself as TNA. It's been successful in the last couple years. People have raved about the TV show, the stories that they tell, the people involved in the product, and it's all because of Scott D'Amore. And then we find out this week, or last week, excuse me, later in the week, that Scott D'Amore has been fired. He is no longer part of TNA Wrestling.
Yeah.
And it kind of took a bunch of people by surprise, especially the talent. And the genesis of it is apparently a clash over TNA's wrestling budget may have played into the contract termination. That happened Wednesday. D'Amore apparently wanted to spend more money, go after more talent, build things up, get a little more momentum. And the Anthem people were kind of like, we don't want to increase the budget. And maybe even wanted to cut back on the budget, but definitely didn't want to increase the budget. And it was a standoff, and that's kind of what happened. He'd always been trying to get a bigger budget, and he's always been rebuffed. So it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, maybe he finally had enough, and he felt like if I'm gonna fucking get something done, it's gonna be now or never. And unfortunately, it's never Scott no more. God damn it!
Do you think so? Here's one thought that I had when I read all this, and he's obviously I think at least a fantastic wrestling mind. I think he does a great job and is doing a lot of great things for TNA. With Anthem, do you think one of the things that might have crossed their mind is that he's been there for as many years as he has, and they have not hit that next level, that next stride? Maybe we got to find somebody that will do that. Does that cross their mind at all? If you're, you know, at the top of Anthem and you look over at this guy that's been there for as long as he's been there, and they've never quite cracked that next level, you go, well, we might need somebody else.
No, I don't think so. Right, I don't, because if you're,
do you hear that? Do you hear the phone ringing?
Yeah, why?
They're calling school. It's coming.
Look, he's taken TNA. You know, this whole rebrand, right? It can, at some point you have to spend money. To make money, right? And they've reached that point. They keep running these. They're doing these tapings, so they're taping like 4 weeks at a clip, which means they're not doing house shows. They're not doing weekly TV tapings. Then they're doing these monthly specials, you know. And that appeal, you know, if you get Okada to do a monthly special or to be part of the TV show or Ospreay to come in, like it costs money. Those guys aren't always in the States, so it costs money to fly these guys out. And I think he's set the bar so high. In the past year, you know, you kicked off the year with Ospreay, Josh Alexander, Machine Guns, and Okada against the system. Like, Mustafa Ali is supposed to be there now, but like, Dolph is there. Like, I'm sure he's spending money, but you want to keep up, right? You want to keep up with that, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess from like an upper management standpoint, you take a look at it, and again, I think he's doing a great job. I think he's doing, you know, he's a great wrestling mind in my opinion. But at a certain point, you look at somebody and you go, okay, well, you've done a lot of great over this time, but you'd never really
broke through that next level. Like you said, Matt, like flying all these those guys out there, it costs money, obviously, because that money spent perhaps in the wrong spot to get a, you know, a handful of guys to come across the sea here, do a shot, send them back. Like, can you spend your money better? Probably.
Can you, though?
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can.
I don't know. I really don't know. It's a shame, too, because this new era, the way the year kicked off and what they were doing is great. And now, you know, and look, Brendan said it right here. You know, TNA was a joke before Scott, and he really made them matter again. And now, look, he came in after the Billy Corgan, Dixie Carter disaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, you know, he slogged through a lot of shit to kind of right the ship. And now it's like, you kind of have, and look, the support for Scott was through the roof on social media. You know, there's all these people there who were there for him. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like almost like I don't want to even say college football because it's not the way it used to be because these kids can just leave after a year. But mm-hmm. it's like you commit to a school, you show up, and then like 5 days later, they fire the guy who recruited you. And now, the TNA wrestling president is now, like, the president of Anthem?
Yeah. That would be a huge concern for me as well as the locker room. Like, you get rid of the guy that so many people are close with and have a bond with and know how to work with and understand, you know, his vision, and now he's gone. That's got to be very unsettling for their locker room.
Yeah, and, you know, Fightful reported that those that they've heard from, they're not happy with the decision and haven't been given much of a reason.
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, if you dig a little deeper, there are some allegations out there from years ago. And I Googled it now, but I will do more digging. Some people assume that maybe because of all the Vince McMahon stuff, this was like a precaution, this is all allegations. I can't confirm or deny it, but there's a couple discords I am in where people are much more knowledgeable with this information than I am. But I'm just throwing it out on the table there. So Scott George, the new president is a wrestling guy, though, not just a non-wrestling guy. Yes, Anthony, what's his name? Anthony Cicerone?
Khan. He shows up and he's got a fucking handlebar mustache. He goes, "Hey!"
And a fucking hat.
I buy a TNA.
I don't know. It just, you know, you feel like they're moving in the right direction and they're doing such great stuff, and then like this has got to be a blow to the whole locker room, no?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. Like, I think that your college football comparison, that analogy, works perfectly in this situation, because that's exactly, I mean, I wouldn't say exactly what it is, but it is so damn close to being like, I'm here now and now my guy's gone. Like, it's not good. But if the new guy is a wrestling guy, maybe it'll be better. Like, that's one thing that you got to think about, too, because
that's true. That's fair.
Perhaps this guy will help in ways that Scott wasn't able to, right? Perhaps he will band the locker room together in ways that Scott wasn't able to. Not saying that there was any issues or anything like that with the locker room, but maybe this new guy is really going to launch him. Like, that's, I think people get lost sometimes in seeing the bad of it and just getting kind of stuck in that bad fog. Like, obviously, Scott was a very loved guy. Maybe this guy is going to be loved too. Maybe this guy is going to help them break through.
Yeah, maybe a new set of eyes.
Yeah, yep.
You know, it's not a bad thing. You get so used to doing something for so long that new eyes aren't going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dirt don't hurt. I did not watch Impact this week, so I can't report back to you on the happenings of the Impact. I will say I have been watching the last couple weeks, and I have enjoyed what they're doing. So I plan on catching up, but I had a New Japan show I had to watch.
Can I ask you something before you hop into New Japan?
Absolutely, you can.
So I don't have Access TV anymore. With the package that I have now, I switched providers. I don't get Access TV. I don't have the TNA app anymore. Right? When they switched from Impact Plus to the TNA app, I got an email that said, "We've canceled your subscription." Did you get that same fucking email? We've canceled your subscription. You got to sign up for this shit now.
No, I think they just moved me over.
They didn't move me over.
Maybe they heard the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast.
Perhaps they did. And if that's the case, I don't blame them.
Look, I'll be fully transparent. I'd have to go back and look through my emails. I don't think I got an email like that, but sometimes I just sit down with my computer in the chair and I go through emails and I just fucking press a bunch of buttons.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear
you. As I point to my brain. It looks like KJG lost his internet, so I don't know if he will be back with us. But we will have to wait and see. But until then, it's a three-man show. It's the Island Boys.
The Island Boys!
Can we talk Fortnite now?
No. This is Come on, man. This is not a Fortnite podcast, Tony.
What if we had an Okada skin in Fortnite?
Tony, people aren't tuning in to listen to us talk about Fortnite.
Oh, but we fucking talked about the ass cracking and the fucking Major League Baseball teams for fucking 20 minutes.
You brought up the ass cracking.
No, I didn't. Wait, what?
No, he brought up the Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners.
You asked him if it was a Mariners hat, and then he told you it was a Kraken.
Listen, if you don't want to talk about the Anaheim Ducks, the Arizona Coyotes, the Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the Calgary Flames, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Colorado Avalanche, the Columbus Blue Jackets, where the fuck did they come from? The Dallas Stars, the Detroit Red Wings, the Edmonton Oilers, the Florida Panthers, I knew them, the Los Angeles Kings, the Minnesota Wild, the Montreal Canadiens, I can keep going. The Nashville Predators, the Devils, the Islanders, the Rangers, oh my. The Ottawa Senators, the Flyers, the Penguins, the fucking Penguins. There's no Penguins in Pittsburgh. The San Jose Sharks. Are there sharks in San Jose? Is there water in San Jose? Am I fucking crazy?
Oh, yeah.
The Seattle Kraken, the St. Louis Blues, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Canucks, the Golden Knights, the Capitals, and the Winnipeg Jets. Fucking Winnipeg still has a hockey team? Get the fuck out of here.
Well done. Tony, I know you read that. Oh, super fun.
I can see the Instagram comments, and I do want to give a shout out to these folks. C4 Wrestling said KJG sounds like he just got possessed. And local independent Smiley Lucha says hello. Smiley. I forget that I can. It doesn't show up on the comments here, but I can toggle back and forth. Justin Anderson, KJG is currently on hiatus, looking for Optimus Prime. Scott George, you need to bring on a bunch of 6-year-olds to talk about Fortnite. Yeah. Hey.
Well, I mean, you're looking at us.
To be fair, I was a very staunch hater of Fortnite, but then when I throw on the headset and I play with my friends, and it's you don't play the game where you build shit. You just play the game where you run
kill
around
shit.
And you kill people. All right, you just kill other people. It's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, building sucks. I hate building.
I have a great time with it. It's fun. I get to talk to these jackwagons and the boys from the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast, so it's just another nice outlet to get away from a hard day's work or a shitty day, or you just want to fucking hang out with the boys and laugh.
I was right with you, Double T. You know that. I was very much, I don't think this is going to happen, but you know, Tony, he said, hey, man, you'll have fun with us. And when Tony says you'll have fun with me, I go, you know what, Tony? Bend over. Let's have fun.
Yep. It's all fun until he fucking gets a bot and then you can't get in the car. Then it's fucking life and death.
Or they tell you can get in the car whenever you want, and then you're taking your time, and they're like, get in the fucking car!
Bro, you had to watch me and Matt. We both had bots. We had a sports car. We're trying to get in the car at the same exact time, and every time one of us would get in, our bot would jump in next to us. It's fucking atrocious. The storm's up our asses. We're like, get in the car!
It's fun. So, you know, if you're on a Patreon level or the Discord, keep an eye out. You never know when the video game thing is going to pop off, as the kids say.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to get everybody involved in Fortnite yet, because I have a device that I bought a couple years ago that actually allows me to send whatever I'm playing to my laptop. So I can, and I tested it out on StreamYard, I can share my screen while I'm playing. So that's why, like, I thought it would work with Jackbox, because if I share the screen, everybody just grabs their phone. You could just jump in the game. But something like Fortnite, it might take a lot, or even in a Discord, to figure out, like, people how to share all their screens so we could all kind of, like, sync up and all play together. But we'll figure it out. It's a work in progress. It'll be good times.
Yep. If you've listened to this show at all tonight, you know Tony's always working diligently behind the scenes, as you can tell by all the new sound bites.
Oh, you want to hear more?
No, I was just complimenting you.
Love cocks.
What a package.
WrestleMania 4.
I don't care. You come in my face.
Because I'm going to stretch his ass like it's never been stretched before.
I'm just going to come as hard as I can.
Oh.
When I get my hands on you, I'm going to eat your ass.
I'm going to get to touch your body.
I love this. It's like 30 new sounds.
Yeah.
Balls. Balls.
Boobies.
My nuts.
Dicks.
Ass.
Pussy.
I love cocks.
Woo.
Yo, homeboy. Welcome to the hood, brother.
What the fuck? What are we doing? Come Jesus on. Christ.
Oh, Handsome Kevin.
Yes.
Matt never heard Ass Like That by Eminem. You know the song I'm talking about, right?
Nope.
Are you fucking kidding me?
When that song come out, Tony?
Oh, God. I have to look that up. That was on Encore, I think. Ass
you,
Like
You
that?
Say it like we both should know who sings it.
2004. Oh my God, that was 20 years ago.
I got nothing.
Oh my God. Please. Apparently, it's an Eminem vehicle, HK.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because
I was singing. We were talking about Gwen Stefani. I started singing, Gwen Stefani, Will You Pee Pee on Me? He goes, what's wrong with you? I go, it's a fucking Eminem song. You don't know? And apparently, nobody knows.
Maybe it's weird that you do know it.
Well, why wouldn't I know that? He's singing about pee pee.
Makes sense.
And my dick. It was so bad that my balls were black. And my dick.
Kurt Angle had problems.
What the fuck, man? Seriously.
I'm coming.
And Sting. Oh, he's coming.
Oh, he's coming.
You know, I'm sick of that, by the way.
What, coming?
No. The Sting. Every time, it's Sting.
Oh, yeah, fuck him, too.
Fuck up.
Yeah, I've had enough of that. I had enough of that like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, you guys hate fun.
Oh, shut up. That's fun?
It's fucking stupid.
Sting!
Sting! I know the answer to the question, so I'm just going to plow ahead and move on with this. Yeah. New Japan had a show. These Shining Wizards pens suck.
No, they don't. They're amazing.
Oh, my God. Fucking ink sucks shit. Anyway, New Japan had a show Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Oh.
I talk about it with Kieran. New Bread Club's coming out. You can listen to me and Kieran talk about the whole thing, but I got to tell you guys. You got to find 32 minutes, and you got to watch Zack Sabre Jr. and Bryan Danielson. And Tony, for you, you got to find time to all 11 minutes of Okada Tanahashi.
Tanahashi beat him in 11 minutes?
No, dude, Okada's not losing on this fucking going away.
Should have fucking lost. He should have did the honors.
Well, we talked about, me and Kieran covered that in depth.
So wait a minute, so he won the fucking TV title?
It wasn't a TV title match. No, Tanahashi's defending the TV title against Matt Riddle in 10 days.
Oh, great.
Yeah, exactly my... HK's face.
I'm pulling for him to, you know...
Oh, yeah?
I got points on the line.
Riddle?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Also, if you're into... absolute fucking chaos. the cage match between the United Empire and Bullet Club War Dogs is 64 minutes.
Oh, of God.
Fucking insanity.
64 minutes.
I will watch that just for old Clark.
It is fucking
64 nuts. Minutes.
It's insane.
How did they set that up? Was it like a War Games type?
Yes. Okay. So they did. It did. It was Osprey and Finley started. There was a 5-minute period, and then every 2 minutes, another dude came out.
Oh yeah.
And then it was.
So they wrestled for another 40 minutes after everybody was introduced.
There's a lot of laying around, a lot of chaos. Just a lot of you have.
Wait, look, chaos wasn't even in the match.
You're either gonna love it, you're gonna love it, or you're gonna hate it. Like that's just the consensus. Is it's because a lot of. So if you're looking at it through a vacuum and you don't watch New Japan, you would watch this and you go, they're ripping off NXT War Games.
Okay.
Right? But if you watch New Japan, the story between the United Empire and the Bullet Club War Dogs and how we got here and how the War Dogs have been fucking vicious animals and Gabe Kidd and Alex Coughlin are fucking killers. Akira just wants to wrestle. He's fucking scared. Like, the story is wonderfully told. Osprey takes the pin. He does the job on his way out.
How come he does the job but Okada doesn't?
Because I don't think they knew Okada. They booked, me and Kieran talked about this a little, they booked Okada for this tour before they knew he was leaving.
So change the finish.
Yeah.
He's the fuck. He is.
He's the fuck, all right.
Look, man, I don't know a lot about Okada's personality or what he's like. He's won the IWGP title many times. He's lost them every time.
He's a fucking loser.
So I don't know. I don't, like, he had this match with Tanahashi and it was perfect, but he has two more matches the last two nights next weekend where he's in like 10-man tag matches against like
Naito,
the United Empire, and it's like, well, he's not getting beat by any of these fucking guys. So it's like, at that point, what's the purpose?
He's making his dates, bro.
Yeah, but if you're leaving, don't you want... It's like you're leaving. Don't you want to leave the place better than you found it?
God damn, Justin. I can't put that up. God damn it. I'll just ring the bell. Good on you. Holy shit.
So
let me ask you this.
Yes, please.
Because
I'm sorry.
I have not watched, I haven't watched it. I didn't watch it. I did see a clip of Ospreay and Danielson that
Sabre and Danielson.
Sorry, yes, Sabre and Danielson, that it just looked fucking dumb. And now I'm not I'm not judging the entire match on the fucking, whatever it was, minute and 20-second clip that I saw. But it just looked fucking stupid, and it bugged the hell out of me. And so if I do go back and watch that match, that spot's going to pop up, and it's going to bug the shit out of me again. If you could provide some context to that spot, maybe it might help me a little bit. They're each in a leg lock. Danielson spits on him. Fucking Sabre wipes his face. Spits on him again. They start slapping each other. They start double booting to a double down when they're already on their ass in a leg lock. Maybe help me out with that one a little bit, buddy.
I mean, they're technically...
That's not technical. That, fuck you. That's not technical wrestling. Eat a shit.
Eat a shit.
Eat a shit.
You're,
again,
you're watching a 90-second clip.
I said that.
But to understand, you have to watch the full match. You may not enjoy that, but when you watch everything around it, it might make more sense.
That's why I'm asking. Provide some context. Help me. Help it.
Because
I
don't remember the fucking spot like you do. Because I watched the whole fucking 32-minute match.
The spot was in the match.
I understand that, but it didn't.
Kate's angry here. At you.
She said, "Jesus Christ, watch the match.
Eat a shit."
She's invoking our Lord.
Eat a shit.
Watch the match, loser.
Oh!
Holy shit, bro.
Well,
booby.
boobies.
All right, easy, Cena. Jesus Christ.
Dicks.
I got business. What are you I don't know what you're doing.
Dude, what are you?
I'm fucking doing something. Keep on talking about the
pussy!
It's a
balls.
Fucking... You have to watch the fucking match, okay? Please.
If I had to suffer through finest... fucking hand job Adam Page and fucking Swervy Derby.
It's technical wrestling at its finest. It's 1,000 times better than fucking hand. It's 1,000 times better than Hangman Page and Swerve. It's technical wrestling at its finest. You're not going to see a better technical wrestling match.
Okay, and that 90 seconds it was not.
So that you're taking it all out of context, though. You're probably
25. I asked for context.
You're probably 25 minutes into the match where these guys are laying on the floor and they're just fucking trying to beat the dog shit out of each other.
HK, I don't think Matt watched it. If he doesn't remember the spot,
you're fucking. I watched the whole fucking show. I can't with you two. I can't. I really can't. You hate watch AEW. You don't watch. You didn't even watch it. You just saw a fucking 90-second clip. The other one, he don't remember dog shit. He's gone.
He asked your opinion based on what he saw. Was it worth it? That's all.
Yes, it's 100. I can't put this match over enough.
Shining Wizards Kevin joins in. Striking reversal submission. It was fucking as we go.
It was not as we go.
A weasel.
Did Did you watch it, KJG?
Yeah,
apparently he did, and he meant awesome.
It's fucking awesome. It was great.
Fucking a weasel.
Holy shit.
Boobies.
Oh, I miss you, KJG. I really do.
What a package.
Please just watch the match.
Fucking Zack Sabre Jr. and Brian Danielson playing Ookie Mouth with each other. Double T,
I will watch the match before next week, and then we can discuss it.
Oh, boy, we get to talk about New Japan again?
Yeah. Oh, my God, Tony, Scott George is right. You fucking hate wrestling. What the fuck? God damn it, man. I could have got a fucking haircut today instead of getting ready for the show.
No, you couldn't have.
Yes, I could have. God damn it.
Going back
Matthew,
to your guy.
Don't encourage him. Tony, Matthew Burch says Tony is on fire tonight with the soundboard. KJG, I watched that and the cage match. Both were equally awesome for insane reasons.
Boobies.
Gabe Kidd throws a fucking table at Aaron Hanare, and it doesn't land the way it's supposed to land, and Hanare gets split like nobody's business, and he fucking passed out for like 15 minutes.
Oh, great. Someone was fucking murdered. That's why this match
was
amazing.
Then he taped a towel to his head, and he finished the match.
Brilliant.
He sabooed that shit.
You're
in war games. Why are you throwing tables? The cage is enough of a weapon. Can we stop putting hats on hats with this shit? And like I like to say, it's not just New Japan. WWE. Motherfuckers are getting in the cage. Oh, let me grab a couple of fucking kendo sticks. No! Use the cage!
It's a war!
Use the cage!
You know who knew how to use the cage in the war games? Larry Zbysko.
Fuck
yeah. Shut the fuck up, Larry.
Fucking leaping Larry.
Fuck you, eat a shit.
Fucking Larry Zbysko with his fucking tiny head on his fucking weird body.
Old fucking
cement mixer. You fucking
old granite
shit,
man. Fucking Ricky Steamboat said we used to call him Granite Man. I really fucking lost my shit.
Fucking legend.
Him and John Nor can jerk off on a donut and you can eat it, all right? How do you like them fucking apples?
Why the fuck would I eat a John Nor jizz donut?
What's up?
I'm coming hard.
What's fucking Larry Zbysko up to these days? No shot. He's got a fucking Twitter.
I bet you he does. It's probably
no,
LL
this account, Zbysko. This account doesn't exist. Living Legend LZ was the was his gimmick there.
Probably got tired of people talking shit about him.
Fucking hand job. You're going to reference fucking Larry Zbysko.
Stop. He fucking knew what he was doing inside the goddamn War Games match.
Yeah, what was he doing?
He was kicking ass.
No, he wasn't. He was getting his fucking balls beat in.
The fuck he wasn't. He fucking done did the gimmick. And kapow!
He was on the
fucking...
What the fuck was on the fucking losing end. He was on the losing end.
I know.
I'm coming.
Take the fucking NJPW thing down, you fucking hand job.
Ah, oh, fuck you.
Where's KJDG to tell you to do your fucking gimmick?
He's back on Cybertron.
Aren't you supposed
to
be the producer?
I fucking did the thing. I got too worked up, and I forgot about taking the thing down. Now the thing's down.
It was a War Games match. What do you expect in War Games? I don't see you pissing and moaning when NXT does War Games and fucking Asuka gets in a garbage can and does a fucking moonsault off the top rope. Hey, oh, that was fucking amazing.
I didn't say that. It's bullshit, too.
No, this turd above you to the fucking over there.
You know who didn't put a trash can on him and do a fucking backflip?
Larry.
Ha!
Neither did Bruno.
You're damn right he didn't.
Oh, fuck you, got Bruno.
And Bruno
and Larry.
Beat Larry in the cage, and he did it with his fucking fists.
Two of them.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I would fucking love, I would love if you two fucking hand jobs did a watch along to Bruno Sammartino, Larry Zbysko, and 20 minutes in, I'll hear both this.
No, the match wouldn't go that long because they,
what do you
they
mean?
Fucking...
How long was the match in the fucking at Shea Stadium?
I guarantee you it was like 15 or 16
minutes.
No, come fuck off.
Fucking
Bruno
garbage
Larry
fucking wrestling.
Shea.
Yeah, Bruno Larry Shea. What year was it, dickhead?
80.
I have 17 minutes and 53 seconds if that's the full match. That includes Bruno coming to the ring. The showdown at Shea.
What year?
I don't fucking, what was it, 8? It was 80.
You can't fucking
read.
It
was 1980, you fuck! Did I get disconnected? What happened?
No, you're still there, unfortunately.
Thanks, dick.
No, you're a dick.
Oh, you're a dick.
You're all dicks.
Fucking Larry Zbysko. Fucking Bruno.
Hey, that's living legend Larry Zbysko.
Thank you, Tony.
Fuck him.
Wow, Al Day shitting on your idol there. Great value wannabe, Bruno.
Fucking island boy.
Your fucking idol is Larry Zbysko?
He's not my idol. I fucking
Larry know. Couldn't flip off a cage to save his life.
He wouldn't need to.
Well, I mean, if he was talking about flipping off the cage because he was pissed off at it, maybe. Yeah.
Did he use any of his fucking karate? You fucking hand job.
What would be wrong with using karate, bro? Right.
It's a built-in Jeez. Weapon. It's a
That's
discipline.
His fucking arsenal.
Yeah.
Some guys choose to try to balance on a fucking rope for 45 seconds, and Larry was chopping motherfuckers down with his fists.
He's chopping anyone down.
When I get my hands on you, I'm going to eat your ass.
You're damn right he is.
Eating Larry Zbysko.
There's a reason why I do another podcast and just talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's because you two miserables don't want to fucking sit through a New Japan show. This dickhead's
That's
busy.
Not true. It's just a Kieran, poor God fucking help him, doesn't know any better.
No, Kieran enjoys New Japan. He likes wrestling. It's fun to talk about it with him. I come on here with you fucking dickheads.
What? We agree with you. Eh? It was great.
I can't even take a shit in peace. Tony's hate texting me about fucking AEW. Then we go to play the fucking Fortnite. My system's got updated. I told him 15 minutes. It's slow. He's fucking talking shit to
oh
me.
Oh, my God. He made
minutes.
Me wait 40 fucking minutes the other night for his
I
shit
didn't
to
make
update.
You do anything. You could have fucking gone to sleep at 9 o'clock, you shit. All these old people I play this fucking game with outside of Handsome Kevin go to bed at like fucking 9:15. And Justin and Vince are an hour behind us in the time zone. What are we doing?
In fairness, Justin is, Vincent's not. Vince is on our time zone.
Weird, I don't even know where Vince lives.
He's in Indiana.
That's not it. That's in the Midwest. It's in our time zone?
Yeah. Now, oh. Kentucky, where Justin is not. For some odd reason.
Fuck you guys. Fucking stay up past 9 o'clock, you fucking shitbirds.
A fucking remix. Oh, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Dick.
Got me all fucking fired up over here.
I mean, for God's sakes, I came.
Oh.
Listen to the fucking Bread Club if you want to hear two people talk about New Japan that actually enjoy the product.
You know, you guys do a great job on Bread Club. I'm not sure.
Oh,
shitting on
thanks.
The Bread Club.
Thanks. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I mean,
what?
In fairness,
you put up fucking squad goals too, you fucking asshole.
It's been up there for 2 hours and 4 minutes and 26 seconds.
Why well, fucking to pay didn't attention. See it till just now? I've been doing other things, like trying to run a show.
Yeah, getting aggravated for no reason. Calm
oh,
down, bro.
Oh, aggravated for no reason.
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah,
I'm easy.
Blood chill, pressure. Bro. Blood pressure. Chill, just a little bit. Come on.
At least I'm not here. Fucking Billy Jack Haynes. Don't woo me. He was all fucked up 20 years ago when he said he killed those fucking two boys. All
right, here. Oh, yeah. Here's
and now
the question.
He's murdering his fucking wife, you psycho, you fucking maniac.
My kids turned me on.
Oh, Jesus.
What the
how
fuck
is Billy
was
Jack?
That?
How is Billy Jack Haynes, who's 70 years old, married to an 85-year-old woman? How did that happen?
That's what I wanted to say. Why is he pulling the trigger?
Oh
wait,
my fucking God.
Wait, just wait.
This is like oh fucking my. Nick Nemeth and zombies all over again. Not why did he kill his wife? Why is she 15 years older than him?
No.
Oh my fucking
There's
God
no
with you guys.
She's 85. She's 85, man. Don't do it. Just sit back, relax. Wait.
Yeah, I mean, for Christ's sakes, Father Time is creeping up, you know?
Yeah. It's not going to be much longer, I'm sure.
And here's a question. Why is Mother Nature, like, why is nature a mother? Like, why is it, like, so nice? And but Father Time's the asshole that kills you. Like, what the fuck?
That's a good point. Didn't think about that.
You're like the
it's just the fucking patriarchy. Am I right, ladies?
Right.
Fucking AI George Carlin is here today,
Breathe
folks.
The nipple.
Enjoy.
Oh, God damn it.
Boobies.
What the fuck, man? What the fuck? What are we doing here? God damn it.
Oh my God, I'm gonna shit my pants.
You know what? Maybe Vince and Justin were right. We should have done some fucking show prep tonight. Jesus Christ.
What are you talking about? This show's been amazing.
Amazing?
Yes.
Well, Billy Jack Haynes was arrested for allegedly killing his wife and then having a two-hour standoff with police Thursday.
Here's my takeaway.
Oh, here we go.
We, as a wrestling community, we've all known that Billy Jack Haynes is a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
It's the understatement of the night.
Couple cards short of a full deck. Pick your euphemism for, you know, bats in the belfry, whatever you want to go with. Maybe the dude needed some help. Like, I don't know. Is it Billy Jack Haynes failed? Did we fail him? Did the system fail him? I mean, you knew eventually there was going to be some sort of tragedy in this man's life. He's been fucking insane for like 40 years. It's terrible what happened. It really is.
I hate when you do this.
What?
MB trying
you really turned it around really, really well. Like, I agree with you. I just didn't. I thought we were going Nick Nemeth fucking zombies again. Like, I thought we were going that direction where you
Why,
just.
Why was he? Did he super kick his wife to death? I mean,
no, I thought we were just going to go down a road where you couldn't get over the fact that she was 15 years older than
him. Well, she's 85. She probably looked like a zombie.
Look, he was involved in that class action lawsuit against the WWE for CTE.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say he was in Wrestlers versus Zombies.
See,
I mean, there were a fuck ton of guys from the 80s in that movie, right?
His Wikipedia doesn't have any credits on here for him.
Wrestlers versus Zombies. Who was in this fucking classic? Roddy Piper, Kurt Angle, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Shane Douglas. That is not Shane Douglas's picture, by the way. I don't know who the fuck that is. Oh, Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky. There you go.
So he also says Billy Jack Haynes said he witnessed a murder in Arkansas in the 80s. where he says he was also an enforcer who provided muscle to other parts of criminal element to ensure that their legal illegal business dealings were collected upon, while conducting security for the drug money drop, I witnessed the murders of two young boys. He names them. They were murdered by other individuals who worked for the same criminal politician. Their bodies were placed on the railroad tracks to be mutilated by a passing train. This happened in the 80s, and if you look at, if you go by Cage Match, like, it kind of lines up where he's not on the road. He's, or he is on the road, but there's like a break in between, like, when he's in Arkansas, there's like a couple days where he's not working.
Cage Match, the site that just keeps on giving.
It really does.
It's no got a lot Tony of information on there. On yeah, but no, he like does. Didn't come out and tell the story until like the 80s, right? Or the 2000s in shoot interviews.
Maybe statute of limitation wouldn't be up for murder.
No.
Huh. Maybe everybody that was involved was dead? Like, why? Yeah.
Two Dude, for
in
sure.
In February 2018, he was still trying to sue the WWE for allegedly giving him Epc. And he was trying to organize a UFC fight against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Yep. It really sucks that this happened, but does this really surprise you?
No.
No, it's unfortunate, but like...
Yeah, oh, completely unfortunate. 100% agree. Just fucking terrible. And I understand, like, this woman, I think she was suffering from Alzheimer's.
She had dementia.
Like, dementia, yeah. And that sucks to go through. It really does. But you got somebody who's like her caretaker. Actually, she did have somebody that come into the house to check on her and stuff, right? I thought I read somewhere that she had a caretaker. But still, that's got to suck. When you see, like, especially like somebody with Billy Jack Haynes' condition. I don't know if he's ever been diagnosed. I don't want to diagnose him. But, you know, if he's suing for CTE issues and things like that, and he comes out with stories about kids getting murdered in the 80s and stuff, you could assume or infer that something is going on in his head that maybe he should have sought help for, maybe should have gotten some help for. So all this coming together, it's just a fucking terribly unfortunate situation. It really is.
Yeah, no, and you know, we don't. Hopefully more information becomes made available to us because, you know, we don't know if he was offered help and he denied it, or he was on medication and he stopped taking it, or he couldn't afford it anymore, you know. But, yeah, like, for him to come out in 2018 and say that he witnessed this murder that, like, was on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries and I think became a book, too, because of this, like, for him to just come out in 2018 and be like, yeah, I was there, like, it just seems... out of left field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a shame, man. It's such a shame. Billy Jack Haynes was one... He was probably one of my first wrestling memories is his WrestleMania 3 match.
Oh, at Hercules.
Yeah. I remember standing in my cousin's house. We had to go home, and he was watching WrestleMania 3, and then the Crimson Mask, and I was just like, I don't want to go home.
Yeah, he bled after the match.
I don't want to go home. Yeah.
Had a badass jacket too.
Oh, the Oregon jacket?
Oh yeah.
Huge in Oregon too, before he went to the WWF.
Oh yeah.
So that's Billy Jack Haynes.
It's a shame, man.
Yeah, man. It's a bummer.
Did we ever get any new information on Maurice?
Since she posted the other day?
Yeah.
Don't think so. Let me see if I can.
So, for those of you who don't know, Maryse, married to The Miz, of course, for the past couple of years, she's been complaining about severe abdominal pains, and she's been, you know, going to doctors and whatnot and getting checked out, and they never really couldn't find out what was wrong with her. But recently, they did some exploratory surgery, and it turns out she had something like 11 or a dozen cysts on, like, her female parts, and... From what I understand, like, in a couple of weeks, she's going to have a full hysterectomy to try to, like, get rid of everything. And I don't know from what I read. Like, I don't think it was, at least from what I saw, it wasn't conclusive as to whether or not they were cancerous. But apparently something like this could lead to, like, an insanely rare form of cancer which doesn't have a very great success rate for survival. So this is completely like, I mean, it's earth shattering, you know, to have to go through something like this. But it seems, at least from what I read, that maybe this is going to catch everything. But it still sucks, man. They got like two young girls at home, you know. It's fucking hard, like gut-wrenching to hear something like that.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. It's, I don't have the words, I guess, that I would want to in that situation. Like, you feel for the Miz big time. You feel for her. You feel for the kids. Like, it's just such a horrible situation for them to be in. Yeah, you hope the best.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rough one. KJG, welcome back.
Oh, Mamacita.
Hi, buddy.
What's going on, guys?
You're back at full strength.
You look good.
I'm trying. I have no idea if I tried to use my phone as a hotspot. I don't know if that's what's doing it, or if I don't know if I'm connected to the Ethernet. I don't know. So I'm going to lay out, let you guys talk. I just want to hang out and be part of it.
Oh, no, you're good. You haven't gone into Megatron voice yet.
Your screen looks good. Everything looks good.
Okay. Was that what the Megatron reference was? I didn't get that.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have known it because you don't hear it, but yeah, you were kind of glitching out for a bit, and your voice was very robotic. And
all right. Carry on, boys. Don't let me disrupt the flow.
Oh, well, thanks for your permission, sir.
That's right. Well, I didn't ask. I just said, don't let me. Don't force me. You tell me what to do, boys.
Ass.
That's right.
I love these sounds.
Do you?
I'm going to get off by cranking your knob.
All right. I'm listening.
Boobies.
Oh, yeah.
I love cocks.
Okay.
I feel like
and my dick.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm coming.
Ooh, hey. Good for you.
And Sting. Oh, he's coming.
Oh, not in the ring.
Oh, he's coming.
Was there a particular soundbite you found but you couldn't use?
There were some that I just felt were kind of like out of context, like this Ronnie Garvin one where he says, I'm going to get to touch your body. It's just weird. He's just like, I want you. I want to get my hands on you. I was like, I don't know. It was just a lot of, so I went with, I'm going to
get to touch your body.
I figured that was good enough.
What a fucking stuttering mumbering.
What a package.
That was a happy accident because I know that Handsome Kevin was talking about that on Duke and Rogue.
Yep. Staring right at his crank, too.
How is Tuesday.
How's that year of coming along, HK?
Great, man. Coming along. Great. Oh, yeah. No, we just recorded today. We recorded episode or part two of WrestleMania 4. So had a great time recording. I always have fun recording with Duke.
Nice. You guys are like super invested in who's gonna smash Vanna White, and it's a little concerning.
Why?
Why? Yeah, thanks.
Because that's like we're gonna crown a new WWF champion at WrestleMania 4. Who cares if Bob Uecker or Jesse Ventura smashes Vanna White?
That's the fucking time period we're covering.
Yeah, but why? Like you spend more time talking about that than you do about like some of the matches. And that's a little concerning to me. Plus, you jumped down Duke's throat when he suggested Bam Bam gets a win.
Bam shouldn't have got a win.
Nah.
That countout was terrible, by the way.
It was fucking miserable.
I told you guys, I watched the January 84 MSG house show, and they used that same exact...
New Japan, but fucking January 84 house show.
They used that same...
Need Tony's attention.
Sergeant Slaughter had that same victory over Ivan Putski, where Ivan Putski was on the apron and didn't make it in for the 10.
So, Tony, maybe you can help me out here. The official with the fucking horrible hair and the bad calls all night at WrestleMania 4. Who the fuck is that guy?
All right, now I got to Google.
Because I'm not, like, I don't
that's
remember.
That's the father of Aubrey Edwards, Bill Edwards.
I fucking made that. I made that comparison in the recording today.
Tony, is this, you watched what, January 84 on the MSG Network?
January 23rd, 1984. I haven't finished it yet. I think there's one more match.
Spoiler alert. Let's see. The main event is, maybe this is it. I don't know if this is in order. Andre Rocky Johnson, Tony Atlas against the Wild Samoans.
That's not it. No,
that's not the
January 23rd, 1984. The Garden.
Yes.
Tony Atlas wrestled a singles match against Rene Goulet. Maybe
no Rene. According to Cage Match.
No, Cage Match is fucking wrong, dude.
Tony Garea beat Jose Luis Rivera. Fuji yes. and Tiger Chung Lee defeat the. What do you mean? Yes, you just said it was Tony Atlas.
Wait a minute. No. Then wait. Whoa. Hold on. No.
Slaughter defeated Putski by countout.
Yes.
You sat through a fucking 14-minute Paul Orndorff Salvatore Belomo match.
Yes, I did. Below me, Belomo.
You won't watch a fucking engine.
Wait a minute. No. Wait. What are these matches? This was not part of what I saw on the network.
This is what I got for January 23rd, 1984.
Yeah, but none of these matches were on the network feed. Magnificent Morocco Tito Santana was not on that show. The Haiti Kid and Tiger Jackson and with Poncho Boy and Dana Carpenter and a 2 out of 3 falls fucking midget. Are you kidding me? That was Jimmy Snuka, Rene Goulet I saw. The Andre the Giant main event was not on there. Hogan and the Sheik, yes. Fuji and Tiger Chung Lee and the Invaders. We talked about the Invaders last week, maybe? Yes. Oh, Mass Superstars, Chief J Strongbow. No, you know who else was on the show? The fucking, maybe I started watching another show. I was thinking The Missing Link, but that might have been later on. I might have started watching another show. But no, none of these matches were on this fucking episode. None of them. Morocco, no. Haiti Kid, no. Andre, no. Like, I don't know. The version on Peacock was dog shit then.
Maybe they or they left it off for a reason.
Yeah, but why would you leave off an Andre the Giant match, you know?
You're absolutely
dog
right.
Shit.
No, it was not.
Andre who? Who is it, Tony? Rene Goulet?
No. You know, I might have started watching another show. I don't know what the fuck I was watching.
You fucking suck.
No, wait. In my watch history on Peacock, let me see if I can find it real
let's
quick.
This is like down the aisle.
Fuck yeah!
It really is. That's a great point.
Oh, June 21st, 1985. Okay, this
you're not even fucking close to January.
No, I watched the January one. I'm talking about like I started watching this other one. Yeah, oh yeah, the Missing Link. Who did he beat up? I forgot who the fuck he wrestled.
Let me see. June Paul 1985. Roma.
No, it was
Sam Houston.
No. Oh, Jose Luis Rivera. Oh, Tony Atlas wrestled. Was it Matt Bourne? Matt Bourne. That's right. Lanny Poffo opened against Terry Gibbs, and that's as far as I got. All right.
That's a house show. Hold on,
I shut it down because my computer started taking off like the fucking like a Cessna.
What was the June?
June something 1985. June, I don't know.
June Akiyama?
It was from MSG?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Rochester, Montvale, New Jersey.
God.
Hillsdale, New Jersey.
No.
My nuts!
Was it from Uniondale, Long Island?
Maybe.
Dicks.
No, it was MSG.
I know. Cage match doesn't have it.
Oh, well.
I have Troy.
It's called a bitch.
I have New York. You
know, Handsome Kevin, you know who that guy, you know who that was that said that?
One more time.
It's called a bitch.
Your neck of the woods.
Larry Zbyszko.
Mean Gene?
No, but close.
Who was close? Zbyszko or Mean Gene?
Both of them, actually.
One more time.
He's from Handsome Kevin's neck of the woods.
It's called a bitch.
Nick Bockwinkel?
No, but you're on the right track.
I recognize the voice. I can't place it.
It's Killer Ken.
This is called a bitch.
Oh, Resnick.
He was interviewing the Hart Foundation. They were talking about a female dog, Matilda.
All right, I think I may have found it, Tony.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. Is it Missing Link Rick McGraw?
Yep. Pedro no, Morales? It was Missing Link Jose Luis Rivera.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. Sorry for wasting your time.
Now I got to open a Peacock again. Peacocky. Peacock. You know what they call a female peacock?
What?
A pecan.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the drop of the bitch.
Oh.
Yeah, you wanted a George Carlin.
Oh, bad dog. I found it.
Oh.
Lanny Poffo over Terry Gibbs.
Yep.
Tony Atlas over Matt Bourne.
Yep.
The Missing Link over Jose Luis Rivera.
Yeah, it's about as far as I got.
Oh, God, you got a fucking 12-minute Jim Bronzel Moondog spot match. Followed by a fucking 12-minute Randy Savage Rick McGraw match.
Oh, yeah.
The Heenan family, Adonis Studd and Bobby Heenan against George Steele and the U.S. Express.
Fuck yeah.
God, what are we doing?
16-minute Desiree Peterson Judy Martin match.
Give him time.
Glamour Girl.
Bundy, Tony Garea, Steamboat Valentine for the IC title. B. Brian Blair against Barry O. Hogan, Magnificent Morocco in the cage.
That's why I started watching it. I want to see Hogan Morocco.
And where's oh, so Hogan was on the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hogan always worked the A shows at the Garden.
This does not sound like an A show until you mention Hulk Hogan.
Come on, Macho Man, Rick McGraw?
Rick fucking McGraw?
Yes, Rick fucking McGraw.
Terry Scott Dick? George says that was Randy Savage's debut match, that card.
Yeah.
All right, kudos.
All right, so then if memory serves me correct, he spends a lot of time, like, showboating, not being in the ring.
Outside of the ring. Yeah, he does the old Memphis-style match. It was a lot of that in Orndorff's debut, managed by Roddy Piper, I might add. This was before they started putting faith in Piper to get in the ring.
Did you ever, let me ask you this, back in the day, and HK, you might be a little too young for this, but if you're not, please chime in. The tape trading. There was a tape from Southeast Wrestling. I think I tweeted about this the other night. It's like 87 or 88, and Brody is there as a face, and he's feuding with Paul E. Dangerously, and he kisses Paul E. And then the next week he comes out and he's like, "You sure had soft lips, lips like a woman." And then the whole crowd is chanting like women lips at fucking Paulie Dangerously. It's one of the funniest fucking things. And I can't find it anywhere. And two reasons why it intrigues me is because you never saw Brody as a face, right? He was always like being a fucking maniac in Japan. And it was really just a completely different vibe from him. And then just to see a young Paulie working with Bruiser Brody, I just can't find it fucking anywhere.
All right, I gotta interrupt you. I searched Brody, woman's lips, Paul E. The first hit, vaginal orgasm is more prevalent. What the fuck is this? Vaginal orgasm is more prevalent among women with a prominent tubercle of the upper lip. What is a tubercle? A tubercle is a small rounded projection or protuberance, like an occipital protuberance, especially on a bone or on the surface of an animal or plant. Oh my God. What the fuck? Yep, exactly. What are you making me search, bro? Wait, you found it?
No, I'm not making you search anything.
Shape of a woman's pout may mean better sex. What is this? Brody and Paulie?
I think that speaks more to your search history than it does to the conversation at hand.
Oh, my God. Do egg donors face long-term risks? I wonder. Saturday Night Live, season 28, Adrian Brody and Sean Paul.
If that's the case, chickens are fucked. Egg donor.
I fucking found it. I Googled it and I found it.
Why? What did you Google?
Bruiser Brody Paulie Dangerously. It's the first fucking video that comes up.
So wait, so then why didn't you find it before today?
Right. You said you've been looking for it for a while.
You fucking hand job.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
He probably hasn't Googled it.
I found the video of Paulie confronting him where he kisses him.
Nice.
But I don't. I want to find the next episode, and I don't know if that's around. I'm not going to look for it now.
Bro, why would he do that? That's so, like, not Brody-like.
I know, it's awesome, right?
It's just weird.
Is this a widely known thing? That
I only heard about it tonight. ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Search at Wizards Podcast.
That's all. That's all. That's all I got to say.
Kiss him. Party all the time!
You like that? Party all the time?
Fuck yeah, Eddie Murphy.
I don't know. I like finding like rando fucking videos like that.
Wonder if I can find a video of Brody kissing a dude.
The bank must be empty, huh, Double T?
Imagine there was like a Christmas song like, I saw Brody kissing Santa Claus.
I'm coming.
Don't get me all fired up again, you fuckers.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing to want to know about, dude. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't like, you know, if I got to sit through fucking Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland, I got to find some. I got to find some balance somewhere.
Yes.
I'm going to get to touch your body.
See, the difference, Tony, though, is he does both.
I love cocks.
I'd rather watch fucking this Brody segment that I vaguely remember from 25 years ago in my little man brain instead of watching fucking Jose Luis Rivera wrestle for 10 minutes.
Yeah, or New Japan War Games.
Don't you fucking drive the North Island. I swear to God, I know your kid don't have school tomorrow, so the only person I'm waking up is you, and you already told me your wife ain't working tomorrow, so I'm coming for you.
Oh. Are you really?
I'm coming. I'm just going to come as hard as I can.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Balls!
Come on you like nobody's ever come on you before.
People trying to come in my face.
Oh, yeah.
He succeeded. He was successful in just using his mouth to get the man off.
When you're going to bust a nut.
Jerking an angel!
It was so bad that my balls were black.
Thought if I had a face like him, I'd have it circumcised.
Mama, he is not.
You know I can't stand your flagellating family.
I mean, for God's sakes, I came.
He nailed a turkey from the rear.
Dicks.
I do a little fucky fucky.
Yo, homeboy, welcome to the hood, brother.
Oh, fucking gets me every time. Every fucking time. I know it's coming, but God fucking damn.
It's the fucking music at the end. It just puts it over the top.
What is that from?
I don't know.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm gonna pass out.
And Sting, oh, he's coming.
Fucking A.
Ass.
Dick.
Kiss my ass.
Balls. Oh.
Boobies.
My nuts.
Big ones.
They're the size of that ass.
Yeah.
I love cocks.
Oh, my.
When I get my hands on you, I'm gonna eat your ass.
I have a small dick.
What a package.
You have AIDS.
Come Tuesday.
That's tomorrow.
Stop.
Dick.
Stop.
And my dick.
I don't know.
I'm going to get off by cranking your knob. I want to have sex with your wife.
Oh, geez.
Get ready.
balls.
Oh my god.
God.
The fuck are you talking about?
You cocksucker. Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
These nuts.
Grab his dick and twist it.
No, what?
My hole.
Miyu Yamashita. What was that? Say that again. Kushido. Kushido. Miyu Yamashita. Miyu Yamashita. Oh my.
I haven't vacated a lot. I haven't vacated a lot.
You have AIDS.
A stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Kenta defeated Minoru Suzuki, Hirani.
Balls!
Yeah, what a package.
How do you celebrate the 5-year anniversary of killing someone? You kill someone else.
And Sting! Oh, he's coming!
Thou landest!
Oh, God. You fucking dickhead!
Dummy! Yeah!
Oh my god.
Lick him a balls.
Whoa!
Ha ha ha, fucking loser!
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
God, you. I'm pissed now!
Oh shit, Scott!
The one to go meet to meet!
How you doing, my friend?
Jesus Christ.
You suck!
I'm not on the card, I'm not booked. Oh my god.
Holy
I love
shit.
The big package. Fucking whore.
These nuts. What's up, fuckers?
How much does that guy weigh?
Fuck the shiny wizards.
My God!
Fuck was that?
He's got a stinky asshole, and he's got those smelly balls.
Correct! Ding!
I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no.
You have AIDS.
Hey, oh, hey. Shit. Ho, ho. This penis party's got to go. Hey, hey.
Fuck it.
Oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up.
This has been a fucking hootenanny.
Ass.
God damn.
All right, I'm done. Oh, my God. I'm done.
Well, Tony's got a new soundboard. Kevin's internet is working. HK's back from Mexico. And I am cry laughing. And we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast at Wizards Podcast across all platforms. 2 weeks' time, we have Casey Catal on the show. She's making a return to wrestling apps after a seven-month absence. HJC next week.
Yes.
With Kyle from the Apron Bump Podcast.
Kyle.
And so much more. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're on the road to the Elimination Chamber. Fucking AEW Revolution is around the corner. Matt Riddle is going to challenge Tanahashi for the New Japan TV title. So I'm sure we'll have something to talk about there. And other shenanigans, I'm sure.
You okay, buddy?
That was a hoot. I'm gassed, bro. I'm gassed.
Pussy!
Balls.
I love that.
Can you do me one more favor before we go, because I missed a good portion of the show? Can you play like me butchering Japanese wrestling names real quick? Go on.
Yes.
I love cocks.
That was you.
Miyu Yamashita. Kishido defeated Leo.
This one you're supposed to say Hanare at the end.
Kenta defeated Minoru Suzuki. Hirani.
Hirani. Hirani Burton.
I have been vacated a lot.
I don't. Can you guys hear this?
What the fuck was that?
That was when I smashed my microphone.
Oh my god!
I guess I'm gonna have to go through a lot of old. I should go through a lot of old audio while I have the time and pull fucking more sound bites.
Wow!
Holy shit!
So glad I got back on here. This
I love the Hulkster going, hey, bro.
We'll be back next week. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, homeboy.
I'm fucking trying to wrap up, man. You can hit the
Yo,
fucking
homeboy.
Thing.
Welcome Double to bagger. The hood, brother.
He fucking loses it every time.
Oh, fuck.
Could you imagine a Hulk Hogan match where he fucking wrestles the Natural Born Killers the entire time?
Oh, God. Scott George. Tony could do his own soundboard show on the network. Scott George. Great show, gentlemen. Scott George, thank you as always. Mott yes. Spock, Eric Frieds, Matthew Birch, Kate the Great, Al, Island Boy Al.
Island Boy.
I know Duke was here before.
Justin was there for a bit.
By.
Yeah.
Brendan Haney was here. Marking out always. Mike Peterson was here. God bless. Thank you guys so much. We really do appreciate your support. We hope you have as much fun as we do when you jump in the comments. We try to get to everybody's comments. I'm done. Take it. Do the thing, man.
Come All right. On. Take it home, baby.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. Your executive producers are Manny Kratzo and main event Mike Peterson. Our producers are Danny Russoniello, Kate Hensler, Matt Garifo, High Five, Tom, Ryan Schlong, Brendan Haney, Al Day, William Mercier Jr., Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, and Keith Parker. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Good!